The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Somebody made a tape of something dying or something.
Hey, turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got a payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. The gang's here. Eric is in San Diego with the team as they get ready for the San Diego Chargers in what could be dubbed a must-win game, although some may disagree with that.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I happen to agree. If you're interested in the Patriots having home field throughout the playoffs, I think this is a must-win game.
Why?
Because you want to control. You don't want to have to depend on what other teams are doing.
I'm with you, Fred.
You know?
Yeah. Now, it's not strictly in terms of like making the playoffs, not making the playoffs.
No, of course not.
But
it's not even strictly, you know, hosting, not hosting.
It isn't. No, but it's up in the air. You win this game.
Then you don't have any control. Right? Someone else can win their games and get home field over you.
So
that's why I think it's a must win.
All right, we'll talk about that. There's still some people that want to weigh in on the Packers game. What else did I do? Something else that happened yesterday that we want to talk about, right? Oh, well, not a big deal, but Brady had that video for the new daily fantasy.
Not a big deal. It couldn't be less of a deal.
No, but people are talking about it.
Who cares?
People are still talking about the Justin Bieber thing.
I think that's a much bigger deal.
We have emails coming in about
Bieber?
The Bieber curse.
Then a Brady commercial online?
Oh, I don't think either one of them is
stupid.
Worth even talking about.
Okay.
I have questions about Jonas Gray, who, you know, shortly may or may not be out of the doghouse, and he's like living the high life with Gronkowski, Hollywood style. Gronk can get away with it. You know how Revis didn't get benched when he was late? Well, Gronk can get away with going to play with Bieber on a Monday night in L.A. You know what you need to do, Jonas? Go in your hotel room and get ready to play somehow.
Let's be fair, though.
Where's Brewski when you need him?
Let's be fair.
Put down your Clippers tickets and get in your playbook.
Let's be fair. They went to the Clippers game and got invited into the locker room, in which Bieber was also in there.
No, I know.
So it wasn't like they were spending the night with Justin
Bieber. No, he should have been in his playbook.
You know? Come on. Yeah. So he doesn't even.
I'm just shaking my head.
He doesn't even believe it.
I don't know.
For
how
those
Felger
of you that can't
it.
Actually see us, I'm just shaking my head.
How does Felger do it? Spew crap. He doesn't really believe for 4 hours without ever cracking.
It's not a lie if you believe.
Right.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
I know what we're going to talk about.
Is the
Boston Globe.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Those
dinks.
Yes, Fred and Andy fighting the Globe now.
No, look.
Come to find out, I'm actually fighting the editor-in-chief.
I just think it's silliness that
thought he was a writer.
That happens after a loss when, you know, we all know Brady had his little outburst after the, you know, they converted the third down and CBS showed it a couple times. And we did get emails saying, you know, how he shouldn't be using foul language. You know, okay. But the Globe to write an op-ed piece about how the Patriots showed poor sportsmanship because of that is just
wrong.
Have you never played sports before? And
do you
know what sportsmanship is?
That's the problem. They clearly have no idea what sportsmanship is. Brady yelling an F-bomb to himself just out of pure emotional release you know, just like stubbing your toe. Is that poor sportsmanship because you swore?
Right.
You know, swears aren't, if he had said it to the other team or something or the official, right. Okay, he said it to no one, himself. And we were joking about this upstairs. It actually caught me that I thought they showed more sportsmanship and strangely so for the Packers. It was like this was the first team they ever respected. And Aaron and Mike and Coach McCarthy and, you know, the flowers were just being, the bouquets just being dispersed.
I to just the point where Andy wasn't buying it. He thought that was
underlying. Because it felt so out of the ordinary.
It was an absolutely silly op-ed piece. It was. Silly.
Asinine. Not even silly.
Yeah.
Silly I'm okay with. Wrong I'm not okay with. Yeah. You don't know what it means, sportsmanship.
Guys, I tell you all the time, this is why I stay off the Twitter. You guys, there's only crap there. Yeah. You know? Look, I got you guys all wound
up.
But
this wasn't just
12
on the
hours
Twitter.
This 12 hours Boston later, Globe. You guys are still
yelling. Yeah, this is the Boston Globe.
But no one reads the paper. That's true. Please. That's
you get the paper, don't you?
And I don't read it.
He does. He throws away everything but the sports.
I just couldn't believe it.
I couldn't either. Yeah, Fred retweeted, wow, just wow.
Yeah.
in all seriousness, I've never read op-ed pieces.
I've never had either.
Oh, I used to always. That was the best part of the paper, you know, where you get the opinion pieces. Those are good.
I don't know.
Some holier than thou Ivy League
whatever.
Dork liberal. Yeah. That's why you read them.
So the Globe?
Yeah, because I went to the Ivy League. Huh.
No, instead he grew up on a posh country club. And,
right.
God.
I didn't grow up on it, and it wasn't a country club.
it was a tennis club.
I cut through the woods to play golf for free is what I did.
The woods of his house that bordered a golf course.
I cut through the woods, and I ended up in the Monsanto plant.
Right. He went swimming in rainbow water. That's why he is the way he is now.
Do you know, in all seriousness?
Andy cut through the woods, and he was still in his woods.
And that proposal for the casino in Everett, you know, the LNG tanks that are down in that area. Well, evidently a number of those are empty and have been for years. And part of the proposal that Wynn wants to do, if he gets to do everything, is take those out and put a golf course in.
Nice.
A golf course in Everett.
Who'd have thunk how far we've come?
It's like a tree grows in Brooklyn. All right.
But yeah, and most fans gave Scott Lee and the Globe what they deserved.
Lehigh,
sorry.
Yeah, I guess they went after him.
They should. It was a dumb thing.
It was nonsense. And I don't even know if he like really believes it or was just trolling, but either way, it's crazy.
Well,
it's
kudos
just
to Fred and Andy for playing media watchdog. I like it. You went after him like pit bulls. I like it.
It was just, of all the things to criticize the Patriots about, that's not it.
It's really silly. And we have gotten in Fred said that we got, you know, dozen yesterday. We're getting more. They're coming in more and more. And I just wonder if anybody.
It's about the Brady swearing.
Yeah. I just wonder if anybody's ever done anything that's important in their life. I mean, I understand. Listen, if you're one of those people that doesn't curse, I don't know. That's fine. I mean, I have
how
a terrible.
How many do you
mouth.
Think there are?
No, I think there are people out there that just
but how
don't.
Many? I mean, is that like 1%, less than 1%?
Yeah, I don't know what the percentage is.
That when somebody cuts them off or they stub their toe, they don't drop
it. And I understand that. There are some people that just don't do it. I think most people do, and those people are absolute frauds for sitting there saying that Tom Brady should be cognizant of the fact that he's on TV.
Right.
A, no, he shouldn't.
Right.
He's on the sideline in the heat of battle in a game. A game, not not a real battle.
He was at war.
A football game.
Dropping bombs.
And I'm sorry, you can't be upset. And Andy hits it exactly right. Sportsmanship would be going over to Aaron Rodgers afterwards and telling him he was effing lucky.
Right.
That's bad sportsmanship.
Or you mad, bro.
Yeah.
Actually,
or Richard
I don't even
Sherman.
Think that's so bad. But anyway, yeah.
But the bottom line is nothing in that story, because they lumped in other stuff,
he was
Paul.
Upset that they lost
said,
the game.
You know, Bill Belichick is mean to reporters, basically. That's Please. Bad sportsmanship.
Why?
Again, being a jerk or being an a-hole is not bad sportsmanship.
Why
it's like
reporters
they don't know what sportsmanship, or him. I'm not going to say they. If he wrote it and he's the big wig, then it's him, Scott Lehigh.
Why are reporters not upset that Belichick is mean to us?
They are upset.
No, they're not. Who?
The reporters complain all the time about Belichick.
About him being mean to them?
Rhymes with Beric Balavino.
About being gruff and not answering questions and all that stuff.
All right, besides Eric, who has publicly said he's mean to me?
He's mean to me.
I think quite a few. Don't you? No?
No. I think everybody accepts what he is. He's not going to give you information.
Right.
He's the same to everybody.
No, but
he's very fair. Yeah. I think he's very fair.
Oh, yeah. I think
he doesn't give one person something and no one else.
Oh, no.
That's correct.
I mean, he bitch slap his Mike Reese as often as anybody.
Sure. Right. And we know that he likes and respects Mike.
But I think there are reporters that complain.
I don't think people complain. They complain about the lack of access. They don't complain about him being mean. That's not the same.
All right. Maybe. Yeah.
Or they might like vent about an answer.
Like Bart Harbick. That's his name, right, Bart?
Yeah.
The guy from New York?
Yeah.
He complains about the lack of access in New England. Not that Belichick's mean to him.
Okay. All right.
And he's a jerk, by the way. I mean, he's always trying to muckrake something.
Right.
And he follows him on Twitter just to see what
he makes
ridiculous
me laugh.
Nonsense he can come out with. Right. That.
And he has a lot to say about the Patriots. I mean, I think he's kind of supposed to be a national type guy for whatever paper he works for.
Well, the Jets are completely infatuated with the Patriots. Much to Fred's delight.
Just so you know, the
shoe
was
like
on the other
foot. It's
like
the Red Sox used to be infatuated with the Yankees, you know?
And the Patriots used to be infatuated with the Jets at times.
Yeah.
There was a back and forth infatuation.
Oh,
it was
a
legit border war.
That was a border war.
Right.
That was hatred.
So, I mean, there's a long standing back and forth.
Right.
And it's always, even, you know, Felger's whole rants over the years of the Jets way and the Patriots way, it's part of the fabric of this football area rivalry.
It's good for football. It's good for the fans.
And, well, do you feel bad for Rex Ryan? Because he's lost it. He's flat out lost it.
I
think he is. I said to Paul, take his shoelaces and belt away.
Look, I don't feel bad for him because I think he will and deserves to get another job as a defensive coordinator, and he'll be fine.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you.
I might even give him a head coach at a college.
He'll get another chance.
Why isn't his name for Florida?
I think he would be a great college coach.
You know, schools.
The emotion, the recruiting.
Put him in Michigan.
I think he could do that if he wanted to, but I think he'll get another head coaching job in the NFL. Maybe not next year.
No,
but I think he will. But
now they're saying he has multi-million-dollar offers on the table for TV already.
So I don't feel bad for him.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, he's a coach who's losing right now.
But he's in a terrible situation where he's not making decisions anymore.
No, well, that's the part.
Right.
That's why I think he'll get another job, Andy.
I mean, the Idzik thing and the quarterbacks and the whole, what did he say yesterday that made it so abundantly obvious that he doesn't make the quarterback decisions anymore? He had a comment that it was just...
I hate the Jets, do you know how much better they would be if they had a quarterback? They'd be a contender.
Well, right. Can you imagine if Brady was the quarterback in... those back-to-back AFC championship years?
Right.
They might have gone undefeated.
Yeah. I mean, they had that good a defense, and you put a quarterback in the mix, and now you're an elite team,
now,
relatively speaking.
Because he's a wounded animal, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Does that play into the game in a couple weeks?
Well, the thing about Rex, and, you know, there was this rumor that Idzik...
Not if they're planning on throwing the ball 13 times.
Idzik wouldn't let him talk about going to see his ailing father, Buddy Ryan, because Idzik's afraid, you know, he's trying to garner sympathy from the media. And Rex does that well. You know, when things aren't bad, he's all shucks, and he tries to get people to feel bad for him.
You nailed that. I didn't even think of that.
It's worked for me.
You absolutely
nailed
that.
I feel bad for him.
Because I thought it was ridiculous that became, first of all, it should have never become public, and it only became public because Rex made it public.
Right.
And the fact that Idzik would be concerned about it, but you hit the nail right on the head. That's what he wants to avoid anybody out there saying, imagine that, they fired the guy while his father's dying.
Right. Rex made it public?
How else do you think people found out that Idzik told him not to talk about it?
Well, Manish Mehta wrote it, and Manish is definitely in Rex Ryan's camp. Because he's written whole columns about Idzik.
He shreds Idzik.
But don't you think from afar, Andy? And I don't know. I mean, you're right.
No,
I don't know.
I thought I had read that Mehta had gone up to Ryan, like in a post-press conference thing on the side, and the PR guy came in and said, no, he's not allowed to talk about that. And Mehta wrote that in exchange.
That could be,
Either
way. Mehta actually said, why not? And he said, I don't have to tell you why not, or something like.
Yeah, I read that too.
But
either way,
that was,
let your head coach talk about his father?
Right, and I'll bet anything that Rex made sure that people knew that, no, that was a directive from Idzik. I'm not allowed to talk about that.
So,
well, but we can't point fingers about people not being allowed to talk about stuff. There's plenty of people in this organization that aren't allowed to talk about anything.
Yeah, but if Bill Belichick wanted to go up and talk about his father, Steve, he does that all the time. You know, he died while he was in
the tenure. The only difference is it's Belichick giving the order that so-and-so can't talk about.
Right, yeah.
Because he is the GM, the head coach,
but
the president.
And
it would be executed better.
But
that's the other problem.
Right. But that relationship there between Ryan and Idzik, that's ridiculous.
Idzik is as thoroughly unoppressive a guy in
his
role.
Well, I don't know.
I think he's Peter.
So far.
I think he is the Peter principle on full display.
Yeah.
He reached a level at which, boy, did he fail miserably.
Yeah, I don't know if Rex Ryan is a great head coach. Maybe he's not. Maybe he only can coach defense, and That's what he is. But I'm pretty sure that John Idzik is not a good general manager.
But
I don't know.
Isn't it weird that a guy gets to
that? Anybody that doesn't want Darrell Revis on their team.
No, but I don't even care about that because I think that might have been Woody Johnson. I'm not sold that that was Idzik. I think it's rare for a guy to get to that position and not have something that I point to as a strength. Either he's can talk my ear off and is suave and smooth, or he actually has a reputation for. He hasn't put together a good football team, and anytime I see him speak, he does nothing but breed.
But wasn't he highly regarded in Seattle? Like he did some great things.
Sure,
over there,
but
you know.
I just haven't been impressed with anything he's done. I mean, when he had that press conference, that rambling, bambling and
that was the one to me that really sort of turned me off on that.
It can't happen to a better team, as you.
Well,
would
they're
say,
in
Andy.
Disarray.
Wait a minute! You just said it, and you weren't gonna cite me until you reached the end of that sentence, were you?
What are you talking about? Of course I was. That was why I said it.
Well, that is the saying.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. You used it correctly. Well done. It's a first for you.
See, couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Fred and I have been going at it for 3 hours today. Yeah. That's what people don't understand. Right. That the mics came on at noon. We were arguing at 9.
I walked in this morning at 9:30. You guys were already in Fred's office.
We're
I don't even know
like
what you were
arguing
about
various things.
The definition of a bust.
Yeah.
Well, that came later.
But it's so funny that people are like, oh, they can argue because of shit. No, we've been arguing for hours already.
According to Fred's definition, you have to
be cut immediately. I would love a job like that. No, you don't. It's tiring. it's exhausting. I go home and I just want to lie down.
Take my pants off.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. All that on the table. We've got emails coming in. Let's get to some of those. I know we've got a couple people on the line. We'll get to them in a second. Just get to some emails because we usually don't get to them till later. Andy in Tampa. One takeaway I took from Sunday's game was how it seemed the Packers would frequently take the play clock within 5 seconds. I think this was to keep their defense from getting exposed by the Patriots' offense. This is what I wish the Patriots would do more often. The hurry-up offense is fine when it's clicking, but if they are having three and outs, it really puts the Patriots defense in a difficult position that they don't need to be in. As a resident of Tampa, I'm so glad to be a Patriots fan. Man, do the Bucks stink. Some of the headlines in Monday's newspapers were quite amusing. My favorite was 2-10, but who's counting? I don't know if we've ever seen a game end like that. Thanks for all you do. Were they in a hurry?
2-10, but
were they
counting?
In a no huddle or a hurry up on Sunday, the Patriots?
I don't think
they spent
did.
A lot of time at the line, so that means it wasn't really a hurry up.
I don't think that they did much of that on Sunday.
I don't think they pushed the tempo.
No, I don't think they did. I don't think they had the ball enough to really get into any of that stuff. And I would say that in general, in the National Football League, plays get snapped in the last 5 seconds of the play clock.
A lot.
Yeah, even when, like, as you just said, even when you're like pushing tempo,
right.
A lot of times they don't huddle.
Right.
They get to the line, and then everybody moves around. Peyton Manning is out. Right. A lot of times you're like 25 seconds left.
And you say, well, why would you do that? By not huddling.
Listen, if you're in a straight hurry up, yeah, obviously you're snapping it quicker, but I don't think that happens a lot.
And you say, well, why then not huddle? By not huddling, getting to the line, it doesn't allow the defense to make substitutions.
Correct.
So that's the advantage of doing that.
Correct.
It puts more stress on the quarterback, but a guy like Brady can handle that.
Correct.
So let's see.
Was he looking for us to dispute any of that?
I don't know.
No. Brady? We trust Brady now at the line?
Yesterday was only because they had Rodgers they were able to get by. So today it's Brady, too. That's good.
Joe writes in, terrible loss. There's no such thing as a good loss. One thing about the game I want you guys to go back and see is the Gronk TD attempt. It looked like the guy tackled Gronk before the ball got there. If that's not PI, I don't know what is. I'm more pissed off at that than anything else in the game. Now, I'm mostly always with Fred, but Fred, you are wrong about Blunt being only a little bit better than Gray. He's a lot. No. I love Gray getting his share and getting 201 yards and wanted Gray to be the starter this year until Blunt got released and signed with the Patriots. I've always loved Blunt since he came into the league. I wanted Blunt to start all last year. I was done with Ridley the year before. He will not learn not to fumble. And Blunt is far better than Gray. Gray had all that room in his 201-yard game. I bet you Blunt would have had at least 250 if he had got those carries. Blunt is better in every way. Anyway, let's demolish the Bolts and get to the postseason.
It's a very good email.
Yes. Except for I don't think that Gronk got interfered with on that play.
I don't either. I think they both.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I didn't think it was passing.
I just thought it was amazing he got his hands on. I didn't think he had a shot in hell.
What did you call it yesterday? A left-handed low and away curveball?
Right. It was just,
It just started behind the batter to a lefty and ended up way outside of the plate. Andy writes in from Maine.
Do we have two Andys in the first three
years?
Yeah,
well, actually, he goes by Moses because that's his last name, but and I'll give you his phone number, too.
Social Security number, if you could.
Listening to the discussion about why Dobson and Timms were active, don't you think it's because Edelman and LaFell are both nursing injuries? If both of them got banged up, you end up with Amendola and Slater. Yuck. Well,
yes,
he's probably right.
Yes, yeah. I do think that's why they were both active. It doesn't explain why Dobson got the reps over Timms.
Yeah, right.
But I do think that that's why that Dobson was also active this week, because they had two receivers that they were probably
and
not quite sure on.
I'm not sure the Edelman really matters. I think he's the backup to LaFell.
Right.
I mean, they're the similar type of skill set, body, everything.
No, but to his point, if you lose them both,
right,
you need to have more guys available.
The backup for Edelman's always available. His name's Amendola.
Right. No, I know he's available, but if you want to go with, say, three receiver sets, Amendola's out there and you have LaFell and Edelman out, you might need other options, is my point.
Yeah.
But it doesn't explain to me why Timms has been the guy over Dobson for 2 months, and all of a sudden on Sunday, Dobson was the guy over Timms, because I don't think Timms played.
I don't know. Remember, we saw him on the...
I don't think so.
You got the book. Why don't you...
I'm going to look, but I was...
We saw him celebrating a touchdown, I remember, to LaFell.
Timms was?
Yeah, but he might have just run off the sideline. That's their new thing.
Timms did play two plays.
Devlin
play?
Started it.
Wow.
Two plays.
You come and celebrate now, even if you weren't in.
I don't know if those two plays came after Dobson was out.
Well, that's the other thing, is Dobson...
He played
got
four,
hurt on a deep
he got
ball.
Hurt on the fourth.
On a deep ball.
Right.
I thought Timms was here for the deep ball.
That's kind of my point. For 2 months, Timms has been the guy that you've... I mean, he hasn't done anything.
Right. I think both are irrelevant.
Right.
Jeff in California, guys, it's pretty simple. The Globe is total trash. I don't even consider them a reliable source. For whatever reason, they've always got an axe to grind with the Patriots, even though Kraft could have shut them down years ago after the misprint about Spygate. I don't even listen to their garbage. That was actually the Herald.
That was the Herald.
Brady was rightly upset, and it's great to see the passion. I'm glad he's fired up in outwardly.
And he always is. Whether he throws a water bottle or doesn't, drops an F-bomb or doesn't, he's always fired up when they're losing or struggling or whatever.
He's a really, really competitive guy.
Right, he's a bad loser. There's no doubt he falls into that, show me a bad loser and I'll show you a loser. He buys into that because he's a bad loser.
He was joking around on EEI yesterday. They were kidding around with him about that, and he said, you know, what do you like when you play like Candyland with your kids? And he goes, I don't let them win.
Felix in Houston, just a thought. Make a segment of the show for Andy entitled, What Pisses Him Off? It'll be awesome. Just saying, because y'all already have one for Fred and Paul, I feel Andy deserves his own. What do they have for me? Story time?
You're underrated.
Yeah?
Things that just sort of irritate you out of nowhere. Yeah, I'm going to say it.
What was that one?
I forget.
Some ass. In the parking lot, was it license plates or something?
I don't know. Anyway, all right, let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll get back to emails, too, but let's get some people off the line here. Marcel's in Sweden. Hey, Marcel.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, is this the DB?
I'm not a DB.
That's what everybody says you are.
Sorry.
I had people defending their country saying, and you don't represent them because you're a DB.
Really?
Yeah, people hate you.
Wow.
And that's why they hate Andy.
Well, you were kind of a jerk the other day.
No, I wasn't a jerk. You cut me off.
No, I didn't.
I was trying to be funny, but it kind of failed.
It wasn't. Yeah, you failed miserably because you came off as an a-hole and your whole country hates you now.
Okay.
Should get a job at EEI. Trying to be funny.
Up there. I'm sorry. I made a fool out of myself.
Do you make a good Swedish meatball?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Because that's all they eat in Sweden.
No. They have fish, too. Okay, what do you got?
Come on, Andy. Okay, anyway. I wanted to say, talk about...
Are you even from Sweden?
Yeah, I'm from Sweden.
Like, originally?
Will you let him talk?
Yeah, I just got the accent.
Oh, there's the ya. You brought the ya in.
The Swedish accent?
Yeah.
I mean, the American accent. I watched a lot of Simpsons when I was, like, 5 or 6.
You learned English from the Simpsons?
Don't!
Yeah, and then from school.
You learn football from playing video games?
Daniel Panetka, yeah. Okay, English. Go ahead, sorry.
Anyway, I was talking about how Revis, I love Revis a lot, but he gets away with things that no other corner gets away with. He has that special thing about him. Like, he can hold a bit more. If Brandon Browning even looks at a wide receiver arm, he gets flagged. where Revis can, like, tug him by the hip a bit. Like, he gets treated special because he is special.
Yeah, but don't you feel like that's the way it is in sports with superstars? Like, I think there's hits on quarterbacks that might not get penalized, but you do it to Peyton Manning and you're going to get roughing the passer. You do it to Tom Brady, you're going to get roughing the passer.
And I also think
stars get the treatment
deceptively.
Yes.
You know, I'll give you the Browner one in the end zone earlier this year. Remember he had the hip. Revis might not get that. But I also think Browner has a lot of them where they're just blatant. And that anybody's going to get it.
I really do think the size impacts because he's so big. He looks like he's mauling guys all the time, and he's just bigger than you.
Right.
And it's not necessarily as egregious as it might look on first blush. And then you look back at the replay, and you're like, that was kind of ticky-tack.
Thanks for the call, Marcel. Let's go to LaShawna in West Palm Beach. Hey, LaShawna. Hello? LaShawna.
She's gone.
All right. We'll go down to South Carolina. Joe.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up, Joe?
All right. So, hey, love this.
Talking to the phone. So, what?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're – I can't hear you that well.
I just want to say great fight yesterday on DSW and to Fred. Don't worry about Star Wars. It's going to be fine.
Okay, good. I'm not worried. I'm excited.
It's like a giddy little schoolgirl last Friday.
Hey,
yeah.
I got one more question. When you guys talk about Belichick overthinking the play, and a lot of us think it's a conspiracy where he's not putting out his best, I would expect to see, like, Gray and Blunt out there running balls, and we start off with the two other backs. Is that what you guys mean by overthink? A lot of us look at that and say, he's not even trying to run against the worst, you know, that bad of defense. He's just not showing them our best. Is that what you guys mean?
Yeah, things like that.
Yeah, okay. All right. So just a reference, Andy, when all of us are conspiracizing, we don't know as much as you, so it doesn't hurt to teach us a little bit, okay? Use that big head and teach us something, okay?
Okay. I didn't catch much of
that. Yeah, garble, 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 garble.
Yeah, you're on like a really bad bonnet or something.
Pull your phone out of this freaking water.
Was his point that when we're saying that he overthinks it is kind of like when the people are saying that he didn't put his best forward? I just don't think they ran the ball enough. I don't care who they ran it with.
I do.
I mean, I would want it to be Blunt, but I don't think they ran the ball enough.
Yeah.
And if they ran the ball 25 or 30 times and then one guy got all the carries, then I would say, why didn't Gray get any carries? I don't think that would have happened. We talked about that yesterday.
Well, I didn't want him to run it more with Shane Vereen.
I wanted them to run the ball more often.
But like Andy said, not with Shane Vereen.
No. Shane Vereen got one or two carries. I don't care about that. I mean, I know he's going to get a couple of carries every game.
Right.
It was Blunt only getting 10 that I had a problem with.
But the question is also, you have two guys who got four carries between them, whatever it is.
Right.
Why are they your opening salvo? Like, I don't understand it. That's where I say overthinking.
I just don't really care about
what
happens on the first play of the game.
You have the 30th ranked run defense, and yet you got to come out because everybody might think you're going to run and not run. That's overthinking to me.
Right.
How about you just line up and run because you can run on them?
Right.
That's overthinking.
Yeah, I don't care who's out there.
It's like they change the pace before the pace starts.
Like,
we're going to change the pace. Yeah. We'll show them. We got Bolden and Vereen. You haven't set a pace yet.
But my point is, on first down, they came out with Bolden and Vereen, and they threw a pass to LaFell for a first down. First play of the game.
Right.
The second play was a carry for Blunt. So I don't care that he wasn't out there in the first play. I just don't think they ran enough.
I think they're the smartest team on the field at all times.
Jerry's in California. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning. I called up a couple of days ago and said I had three quick items to go through, and I went through two of them and got cut off in mid-sentence.
Oh, sorry. You probably took too long. So let's get going. What do you got?
Okay. What I got is I've been a Pats fan since 1975. I have never been to a Pats football game.
Whoa.
I have actually never been to a professional football game. I've never been to a college game or a high school game. But I'm going to the game in San Diego.
That's awesome.
My first Pats game.
Wow.
Right.
We're going to win the game, and now you can cut me off.
Oh, that's all you got?
Is that it?
Wait a minute. Why have you never been to a game? I mean, okay, money-wise, you could say I couldn't afford. How come you've never been to any game?
Just wasn't. I was born and raised in North Carolina. We played basketball, not football. Spent a few years overseas. Came to California. Was just not as a Pats fan. You don't get many choices to go to football games in California. So just never occurred.
You're a unique character.
Well, this is good. This is going to be an exciting first time experience.
Yes, have
for
you.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love to see you guys down there, but I guess I won't run into you. But
that's correct.
I'll be around.
Yeah. Now, where are you sitting? Do you know where your seats are?
A friend of mine bought the tickets, so I don't know exactly where they are. They're not in the nosebleed section, but they're somewhere kind of halfway up somewhere.
Okay, well, have fun.
Yeah, that'll be excellent. And call back next week and tell us what your experience was like.
I'll do that.
Okay, thanks, okay, Jerry. Have a good game.
You don't find that fascinating?
I think it's interesting.
I mean, a guy who is enough of a football fan, he listens to our podcast on the internet, blah, 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 and has never attended a game.
Yeah, it's not so much that he never attended a Patriots game. I find it interesting that like USC, UCLA, he's in L.A., right?
Yeah. Any of the high schools out there. That's a hotbed of high school
talent. If he never had a kid, maybe.
But he loves football. Like, you just... Yeah.
He loves the Patriots and...
I watch this on TV. Yeah. I got to go see what it's like in person.
And I do think that if you listen to a podcast like ours,
well,
that
makes you
a little bit more than just the average fan.
It used to be that way, but now we're so
now
big
everybody.
That
well, there's
everybody
a lot
listens.
More. There's a lot of fans out there, Andy. Just because there's a lot of them doesn't mean they're not.
We're
passionate.
Pretty much mainstream now. We've gone mainstream. Like with Jenna, remember Jenna Jameson with porn, and then she went mainstream. Now she's psycho.
So. Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
We're like Jenna Jameson.
Yeah,
we're
come
like
out porn. Of the shadows.
Right. We're like yeah. porn.
We used to be shadows. A guilty pleasure. Now everybody can admit, yeah, you're damn right I listen to PFW.
That's right.
You're damn right.
Right, here's my collection.
We have made...
Right.
What?
You know, porn people. porn
Wait,
people.
What?
They're proud of their collection.
I have, and our listeners know how many of you, there's so many of you, and we've been doing this how long, Freddie?
40 years.
And how long have we been getting made fun of by the... You know, the mainstream sort
years?
Of radio guys, you know, oh, your little internet show.
Right.
And one of my favorite things lately is dropping the amount of people that listen to this podcast to people that have no idea.
Right.
And seeing their reactions.
Right.
And coming to the understanding that there are more people that listen to PFW in Progress than listen to the so-called traditional
as I've
shows.
Said before, if we could get people who were trapped in their cars, I know there's a way to listen, but I mean, by just
not
turning
really.
On the radio,
right.
we'd have even more people,
right.
you know?
If I were them, I'd fire back with, so I make five times what you make and no one listens?
Well, that now, they got us
That's
there.
That's what I would fire back
they
with.
They got us there.
I don't know why you always have to kill my buzz. That's right. All you do is kill my buzz.
You keep your numbers, I'll keep my paycheck.
Right. But we should get to their bosses and say, you're making a big mistake.
No, you should. You're the guy who can make those. You know that little V
you
and
have
the P
the numbers.
Before your name? VP. That gets you indoors that Paul and I can't get in.
Gets me nowhere.
It does.
Andy and I took a shot at this.
Yeah, we failed miserably. They took our show, but not us.
They didn't even give us FU letters.
Let's go to Chris in Miami. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, I'm sick of everything that's going on right now.
Like what?
I was in Denver this past weekend. I was visiting a friend up there. And now Denver believes that they're going to run the Patriots out of town. That C.J. Anderson is going to run all over us. That they have, I don't know who's the running
Listen,
back.
Listen, if they want to run the that. Ball, we'll let them. We'll welcome that every day of the year. Paul has been saying that for years. Any team that wants to, you know, win the game by running when you have a quarterback like Peyton Manning, go for it.
Wouldn't it be great if they met in the AFC title game and both teams ran it like 40 times?
Right, and the game was an hour. It was exactly 60 minutes.
Oh, I was sick of it. I was up there. I was hearing on Monday morning what everybody was saying. The Denver is running all over. The Patriots don't have a chance. The Patriots just lost. They're
wait,
probably going to lose to the Chargers or Miami.
But these are Broncos so fans?
Yeah.
Well, what do you expect them to say?
Yeah. And that's your problem. If you beat the Packers, you don't open up as much of that talk. You're closing that gap and allowing them to get through the door. You could have not done that by beating the Packers.
That's
I mean,
true.
The Broncos fans are going to think, yeah, I don't want right. to play the Patriots, but hey, if we do,
it's
we could beat
them. Just like, you know, the next time, if we get to the Super Bowl and the Packers do, Patriots fans will be saying we're going to kill them this time.
Right. Well, that's because we threw the first game.
Right.
To tell you the truth, guys, I know it's a little crazy, but I wish we would just go up to Denver and blow them out over there.
Yeah, to do it. I understand where you're coming there, you know, because if we beat them in Gillette, they'll be saying the same thing. Oh, but it was in Gillette. So you want to once and for all beat them. I get that.
I'd be happy to listen to that while I'm in Arizona.
You want to settle scores. I
don't. I want to win championships.
I know.
Championships.
I understand where Chris is coming.
So you're telling me if you knew for a fact you were going to win, you'd rather win in Denver?
Absolutely.
Shoot your best shot. I'd rather the game
prove
be in Denver,
your dominance.
Too, but for totally different
prove
reasons.
Prove your dominance. You know?
I don't care about proving anything other than I'm going to get a ring. right? There was no win.
But it's so much more. I love winning at home, but it was so satisfying that year when they won in Pittsburgh, and those Steeler fans were absolutely certain this was a done deal. And then by the end of the game, it's there.
Yeah, but you don't have that.
You
anymore.
Love that. You want to take it from
you
them.
Had that
in their house.
You don't have that
rape
anymore.
And pillage right in their
you're
house.
You're never going to get that feeling again because you're not the underdog anymore. You're not the little train that could.
Right. I mean, whether the game is in Denver or Foxborough, people are going to look at that as a competitive game going into the AFC Championship game. Yeah. If that's what the matchup is, I can't imagine the spread would be much more than three.
Thanks, are you Chris. Buying C.J. Anderson in the running game? And
I'll tell you what I am buying a little bit for Denver is their makeshift offensive line. They've made some changes, and it's really improved. Now, I don't know enough about it. I haven't watched them religiously. I see what the numbers are, and I don't know if it's just because of that. Or people say in Denver that Chris Clark was really a problem. He was playing really bad. So they made a move, and they made a change, and we saw Baltimore do this a couple of years ago with their offensive line. And you remember this year they won the Super Bowl with Bryant McKinney came in and started playing left tackle, and the kid Assemble, I believe, slid from one side. Michael Orr slid over to the other side, and all of a sudden Joe Flacco caught fire in the playoffs. So I am kind of believing that these alterations they made in the offensive line have helped. I don't know if they're any more equipped defensively to stop the Patriots than they were the first time. They didn't do a great job of it in Foxborough. I sort of think that the Patriots would move the ball at will again against them.
What's going to be the hottest team heading into the postseason?
Green Bay has a chance to do that. You guys are all high on Green Bay.
Seattle, you know, gets back to the way they were, and it looks like they have, they could be the hottest team going.
I think Green Bay has a chance to go into the playoffs with a substantial winning streak, and they have four very winnable games left. So they have a good chance to be the number one seed. I would be fearful of Seattle if I were Green Bay, because that's the kind of team that's going to slow my offense down and can my defense win a game for me. I think that Green Bay looks an awful lot like the Patriots of the past, where all it's going to take is one team to hold them around 20 and they're going home. And I think Seattle could do that. I think San Francisco, if they ever got their act together, I don't think they will this year. I think they have too many problems. I think San Francisco could do something like that. They've done it to Green Bay in the playoffs in the past, the last 2 years.
We should just say that Josh McDaniels said he had no idea where that rumor. He'd heard the rumor about the Florida thing but had no idea anything about it. It's that time of year. Fred, would you like to comment?
I'm not saying this happened with him, but a lot of times, sometimes someone from your own camp, your agent, gets your own name out there just to get it out there.
Scott Pioli, for example, was a good example of doing that annually.
Absolutely.
And yelling at Paul.
Charlie Pullman. Weiss is another one.
I think Charlie also did it very, very well. Yep.
I don't really have a problem with that.
So, you know.
Do you have a problem with it?
No.
No, and I don't have a problem with his denial either.
No, I don't either. I'm just saying I don't have a problem. You know, this, you got to look out for number one, and you're in the business of promoting yourself.
And I try to get my name out there, and people say, who are you?
Right.
No, they don't. You get a wink from the guy at the Globe. The editor-in-chief of the Globe winked at you. He wasn't winking at me. He was winking at you because you guys are on the same level.
Because you have been in those high-powered meetings with him in the past.
He included you in the...
I have never, ever once used one of those things.
A emoticon?
Like a semicolon with a closed parenthesis.
Never? Like a smiley face?
No.
No,
I'm not even talking about the real ones that come with the update, because I haven't done the update.
I know, like the colon
the ones you can
and the
make.
Parenthesis. You've never done that.
No.
Badge of honor. You're a tough guy.
You know, I just think it's kind of lame.
Don't you love the things that he picks and chooses to have a badge of honor about?
How many times have you done that?
And for those who have done it.
It's not a conscious choice not to do it.
Because you're not lame. I'm not consciously choosing to not be lame. I'm not lame.
Sometimes I do it.
And you're not lame.
I've done that in different things that you do think are lame.
Right. Sometimes I do it in email just so people know that I'm just kidding around. Because sometimes email tone can be.
We should teach.
And I've done that on message boards when you might be making a comment. You want to make sure everybody knows that I'm not being serious.
But you look down on people.
Also never been on a message board.
Right, and that's why I said more things that you wear as a badge of honor.
No interest.
Absolutely pussies who do that.
Whoa.
Now that was unnecessary.
I just thought I'd get his attention.
Wait, who did you just call a pussy?
Anyone who uses those, according to you.
Oh, I thought you were calling the guy from the Globe that.
No. You think anyone who uses those, you know.
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
I get it. Go put your Zubas on and make fun of people in the gym. let's go to Anthony in Richmond. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I was pretty upset about the Green Bay loss, but, you know, just looking at the Jets season, it makes me feel a little bit better about that.
Yeah. Do you feel bad for Rex at all? No. Am I alone in feeling bad for him?
Yes.
I don't know. I think karma's you know what, and it's kind of getting back at him for 2009, 2010, that sort of thing. But anyways, you guys do bring up a good point. I think Rex Ryan is definitely done as a head coach after this year. But with that being said, say Matt Patricia lands a job outside of New England, do you think the Patriots should go after Rex Ryan as the defensive coordinator?
Should or would?
He's asking, should we?
I like him. I think he'd be a good addition. I think he'd bring some aggressiveness to the defense.
I don't think he'd fit in.
I don't either. That's why I don't think they will. But should he? I mean, he comes from a 3-4 mentality and background. I think you could meld it in nicely with Belichick, bring a little bit more aggressive. And he also, he's not an ex-player, but he brings a little bit of that emotion that, you know, we've talked about without Pepper and some of these guys, they might be lacking.
And wouldn't you say that Rob Ryan is a very similar personality as Rex?
Yes.
Well, Rob Ryan was on Bill Belichick's staff. Now, you can make the argument.
And they ran him out of town.
No, they didn't. He left to become the defensive coordinator of the Oakland Raiders.
And he wasn't DC here.
No.
No.
Right. He worked his way up the ladder is what I'm saying. That was when Mangini turned that down, if you recall. And then Ryan, and then evidently Oakland just said, oh, who's the next guy in the pit? Much like safety when Dante Whitner and Michael Huff.
Well, if you have a
who's
list,
the next guy
you might
on the
as
list?
Well go to next on the list.
So they just went to the next guy. But, and I know that Rob Ryan wasn't that personality then that he is now. I don't see it for the disruptive reasons that you guys talked about, but I think it is something philosophically, like Andy said, they have more like-minded qualities than you would think. With their boisterous nature and their aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Bill would probably tone down the blitzing that Rex likes to do a little bit. But I think Rex can coach defense. And Bill understands that and recognizes him as a great game plan defensive coach.
Wouldn't that be great? Like February, whatever, 27th, we get those releases where,
Rex
you know,
Ryan,
coaching staff changes.
Rex Ryan would die of a heart attack by week 4. For not being able to talk for the first month of the season.
It's true. It would be like that time I tried in the office to not make fun of anybody, and by like 10 o'clock,
there is
I was just
no way.
Off everything.
His conference call would take an hour and a half, the one that takes like 12 seconds now for Matt Patricia to do.
Or would it go the other way? He couldn't trust himself to say anything.
Well, that's
so
why I think he would have a heart attack.
Yeah, it'd be like Ocho Cinco. It would be ridiculous.
You'd just grunt in the background, like holding things in.
2-10.
This is a freaking joke.
Chris in Virginia, you're on the line. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
So I had a couple comments about the run game last Sunday. First of all, I was kind of surprised that Marcus Cannon has been struggling as much as he has. I thought he did a pretty good job filling in for Ballmer last season. So that's kind of disappointing, kind of hoping that Karen Fleming comes back soon. Also, I was kind of surprised that James Devlin wasn't used more often. How do you guys feel about that?
I'm with you, brother. I don't understand it, but that all falls in line with the not as much blunt and the power running game.
Yes.
But it's also weird that Cannon played.
Right.
Because that's your power running game, and they weren't in on it.
But I said before the game, I said it to Escal, who was sitting, I said, prediction, Devlin will have at least 2 significant plays with the ball in his hand. Because I really thought it was the type of game where you run, 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 Devlin's in there with the fullback, and then you just spring him free, you know, with a key third down pickup. Perfect game for him. But
Never even came close.
Because
he wasn't in there.
Right.
He didn't run, run, run. So you didn't even set up the opportunity to do any of that.
Right.
I agree with your assessment of Cannon. The last time he was good or competitive was right tackle last year. The guard has been terrible. The extra tight end has been terrible. The rotating at tackle was terrible. He has had a absolutely abysmal season.
Yeah, and, you know, it is strange that they opted to use some of those packages, and I just looked it up. He played 7 plays, and Devlin played 4. So they opted to use it a little bit, but they didn't seem to want to embrace it like they did.
Might have been because he wasn't
very good.
So I thought he got blown up a little bit.
Well, but I thought his worst plays were passes, though. You know, mm-hmm. So there were 3 plays that Cannon was in the game that Devlin wasn't, and those were probably all passes. And I thought he got killed. He got killed out there trying to be the extra wide protector. And I know Julius Peppers is a good player, and Clay Matthews is a good player, but that's not a very good front overall.
They looked it.
Right.
And they looked dominant at times in that game. They were flashing off the edge almost every pass.
Yeah.
Who's that guy? Daniels looked
like Mike Daniels.
I thought Daniels looked good. Who was the other guy coming off the edge? I mean, they looked pretty good up front, and that was a bad day. That was a step back for the Patriots' offensive line.
Oh. Anything else, Chris, before we say goodbye?
No, that's about it, guys.
All right, thanks.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
He just can't do it. It's like, for some reason, the man who, like, people that he knows, he'll cut off conversations in real life immediately. But people he doesn't know on the internet, anything else? Would you like to share anything else with it? Just let him go.
You never know when you might have some gold.
Thank you. What?
You might have some gold. You never
Where?
Know. You
Nobody
know.
Ever has gold at the back end of their conversation.
LaShawna from West Palm Beach, who I did hang up on. She wasn't on her phone. She says, I tried calling but was disconnected. I'm tired of the weekly breaking news alert that Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback for the Browns. Why is this news? Anyway, not sure if you guys have had the opportunity to listen to Teddy Bruschi on EEI, but he explained that the play where Cobb got behind Ninko as being Arrington's fault and not the scheme.
I did hear this.
He said Ninko is supposed to stay with Cobb until Arrington catches up, which never happened. Twice in that bunch formation, Arrington failed to get his man. He also explained when the offense bunches up that Arrington cannot get caught up in the traffic. After the explanation, I dislike Arrington even more.
That is exactly how Bruschi explained it. Someone had brought that to my attention yesterday. Moose, one of our camera guys.
Moose.
And that's exactly how he explained what Bruschi had said. So maybe we're being a little too hard on the coaching on that and not putting enough on the players. And maybe they didn't handle it well. To me, it looked like, you know, I guess Bruschi talked about how Revis really handles that a lot better because he gives ground, and that allows him to avoid the wash when he has to get out there right. like that. And Arrington went directly out and ended up getting caught behind players.
Yep.
And not a pick, but there were other people there running routes and covering, and he couldn't get through the trash.
Yep.
That's the way Bruschi explained it anyway.
And she's right. This is a little ridiculous. It's not about Brian Hoyer. It's about Johnny Football. But they are waiting. They keep doing live shots of the Cleveland Browns press room, you know, because Hoyer's going to start and Pettine's going to talk in a few minutes. It is a little, but it's what they do.
Well, the only thing is this week, and I don't know, I don't watch closely enough. Have they been doing this every week?
No.
Because this week it's an issue.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's why they're doing it. This week, Hoyer got benched,
and that's why they're
Manziel came in. That's why they're doing
yeah,
it.
But no.
Have they been doing this every week?
No, not at all.
Oh.
But it's also what
they do.
Because
I think it's relevant this week.
And it's what SportsCenter does. I mean, they have to find a notable topic and run with it.
Right. Right.
Although I've heard, have you heard no one watches SportsCenter anymore?
No.
Yeah. Somebody told me that.
What are they watching?
Everything is just going web and mobile, and no one sits down. Like, I can remember when I was in college, like SportsCenter, everybody watched SportsCenter in the morning, like before you went to class and it was on. Apparently, that is just not the thing anymore. Like, college kids never watch SportsCenter. Young people, it's like SportsCenter is so phased out and generations old.
I'm not even sure they had SportsCenter when it was on.
When I was young, no. When I was in college, they did, but not when I was when I was young.
Actually, MLS.
And I never really watched SportsCenter.
I didn't
Sports
have a
Center
TV in my dorm room.
MLS is apparently in their growth attempts. They are targeting Twitter and Vine as sort of being the way that you would get your highlights and information on MLS, that's what all the kids are doing these days. And if you want a young hipster movement of support, that's how you do
it. It's funny how, like, the generation gap for me never shines any brighter than it does when you say things like that.
Mike Pettine really looks – his brow is, like, hanging over. He's, like, scowling.
Looks like he might be a PED user.
Peter writes in, it's Peter from Connecticut, and I want to say that our cornerbacks match up very well against San Diego's wide receivers. First off, I think that Revis will shut down Keenan Allen, who has had two straight 100-yard games after starting off slow. Next off, Malcolm Floyd, who is big 6'4 receiver, matches up well against Browner. I can see the speedy wide receiver Eddie Royal match up against Arrington. Lastly, I just want to say that in no way was that a good loss, because we lost the comfort against Denver. Also, that conspiracy theory is a bunch of crap. We agree with that.
I agree with all that they held stuff back. They dumped the game. I agree with the matchups, though.
The Arrington one is the health and what is he hurt? Is he what's the deal?
Yeah, my concern would be the tight ends, because they do have two good ones and they're not they don't have eye popping numbers. But
we got Patrick Chung.
That's been
Fred,
a problem. That's been
Patrick
a problem
Chung,
all
right?
year.
Patrick Chung's great. Fred,
great,
good,
good.
Good, not a bust.
He's good, not a bust.
You know, very solid picks often get cut.
You think Chung's a bust?
I do a little bit.
Yeah.
And I also think he's the most positive, surprising player in some areas this year. I think he's been much better than I ever expected he could be.
But he's a bust.
Yes. You know why he's surprising? Because for the first 5 years of career, he's a bust.
He did not.
He had a lot of injuries.
Year 6 jump.
Alex from Philly, I'm writing a controlled email. Hopefully Fred can give a controlled read to my email.
Is this about controlled pass rush?
Seriously, though, should we be concerned about the pass rush? It really hasn't been that great all year, even when we were blowing teams out. But last Sunday was the worst I've ever seen it. Controlled or not, a pass...
He just actually burped into the microphone.
Controlled or not, a pass rush that bad can't be by design. So could that be a potential fatal flaw?
Yes.
I don't think much of the Chargers or Rivers, but if they give similar time to Rivers that they gave to Rodgers, we're in trouble.
If you give anybody as much time... Now, he creates some of it. His movement is and his awareness and everything is phenomenal. But yeah, that could be a fatal flaw with this team, no question.
You don't think much of Rivers, huh?
Who?
It's interesting.
I think he's a good quarterback.
I think Rivers is pretty good.
Yeah. I think he's pretty good. I think he's actually very good.
I mean, he's not Aaron Rodgers.
No.
But, I mean,
he can make the throws.
He might be in the top five.
You know who I'd say he's similar to? Is Andrew Luck. Because he has these turnovers that you just like, yeah, you can't do that, son. You know, and I know it's confidence in his arm. That sways me a little bit, too. I don't love his motion. He's got a very non-traditional motion.
But that's all right. He gets rid of it.
But
quick release.
I think he just every once in a while makes throws. And he had that year a couple, was it last year or the year before?
Like 3 years ago, I think he had a lot of interceptions.
That those
he had an Eli Manning year like 3 years
those
ago.
But some of them were just, instead of having those throws once every 4 or 5 games, he was having them every game, like right. One of those throws.
Did you happen to see, by the way, speaking of one of those every game, that Matt Schaub came into that 52-0 game and threw a pick six?
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
I mean, is that amazing?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't feel bad for him either, right?
No.
Not really.
You guys have no soul. You feel bad for no one.
I mean, I
and
guess
I'm the a-hole.
I feel bad for a guy who I don't think is a terrible quarterback who has, you know, looked terrible for 2 full years. So I guess the guys lost it, but I don't know. What do you feel bad
I'm
for?
Not going to start up a, you know.
No, I know.
Crowdfund thing, whatever that's called, and like raise money like they did for Daryl Talley.
No, you got to do that for Jonas Gray.
Why do we need to
Candlelight Vigil. Make sure he gets his carrots this week.
Stinkhole in Florida writes in, please weigh the pros and cons of staying in San Diego for a week to save a few hours off a plane trip. I thought NFL teams value routine above all else, and that is one of the advantages of being at your own facility. Why change the routine for a whole week more than necessary?
What do you think, Fred?
I understand, but... It's more than just a few hours. You know, it's really a whole day,
mm-hmm.
You know.
And I think we asked this at the time when the schedule came out and we knew they were doing this. Like, where's the cutoff? Like, what would you have not, you know, had you had the same game in Indy, would you have kept going to San Diego?
I think they would have.
Chicago, Cincinnati, you know, where was the point where
was
you would have
come
back?
Was it any road game?
I don't know.
Because do you think
you know,
the
would
weather,
you have gone from Buffalo or New York right to
do you
San
think
Diego?
The weather might have something to do with it? Like,
I do.
Know,
I think getting acclimated.
They
yes.
wanted to get out there and get acclimated.
Yes. And it also, you're going to leave on Friday. That's the other thing is, you know, Bill said right. that yesterday. You're going to leave on Friday. So that shortens the week naturally. So it's just easier. I found it funny. Did you see Josh's answer, which to me was very sad? You know, it gives us a little more time as a coach, and as you're out here, you're just here. You're here, you know, whereas at home, you finish the work day, you have to drive home and then drive back. Like, no mention of, like, you know, you go home and your kids and your family, anything. Just the fact that you have to actually drive home and then drive back. Because literally, that's, you know, they leave here at 10 o'clock at night and drive back at 4 in the morning and
right.
repeat.
Yeah,
kinda, but I don't think he intended it to be sad, but again, I must be emotional this week. I must be that time of the month for me because I was a little, I felt bad.
I do think it made sense to get out there, though.
Yeah.
Just get your work done out there.
Eric gets to hang by the pool with Jackie.
Okay. That's out there now. All right.
Well, Mark Bertrand's been beating him over the head with it every interview for a month. Jackie, by the way, pinch hitting. Patriots Football Weekly Television.
That's
She'll be
right.
speaking with Brandon Browner.
Yes.
For 7:30 Comcast Thursday night.
Good stuff.
So you'll get to see the great.
Did you give her some good questions?
I did.
Good.
Gave her some tips.
All right.
Just the tips.
Oh, see, I knew that was coming, but I was hoping you wouldn't do it.
No, see, you knew it was coming, and I'm not buying that you were hoping I would.
I was hoping you wouldn't.
I thought you'd matured.
JB in Virginia. The previous caller's reference to this next game being the first isn't unusual. I also have been to a fan since 1975, and my first game, first live game, was against the Ravens in their first season, 1996.
Saw a replay at Gillette.
I also hadn't been to an NFL game up until that point. The price was right, and I bought season tickets for that year because the Patriots were on the schedule. It was a Bledsoe to Coates game, also Bruschi and Ray Lewis rookie season. My second time to see the Patriots live was in Richmond this summer. Unfortunately, we lost the Super Bowl to Green Bay that season.
But I also had season tickets that year, 96, only here, not in Baltimore.
I didn't necessarily find it interesting he'd never been to a Patriots game. It was that he'd never been to any game of football. High school, college.
Well, he had just
Chargers.
Said that he had been since 75. He hadn't gone to a game at all till 96.
Yeah, but does he mean at all? He's never been to a high school or a college game? I don't buy it.
You might be right.
I don't buy it.
You might be right.
Let's see.
I don't buy it.
Ed writes in from Texas. No one ever says how smart Ernie Adams is. There are two guys watching the game at the same time, and Belichick listens to Ernie Adams, and both are the smartest football guys in the room. Ernie is probably the one who said we need to leave Green Bay and start playoff football on December 7th in California. The loss in Green Bay was hurtful but not fatal. If they lose to any of the rest of the teams, they are dead and will not get past Kansas City, Denver in the AFC Championship game. They have to have home field advantage. This is December football at its finest. This is Belichick outsmarting everyone again. He has his players in California and telling them that this is December football. This is why we play the game, to win against the AFC, to get to the Super Bowl. This is a bonding moment for the team. Get everyone on the same page again and win. The Jets in Miami have a chance to upset the apple cart. They will win in California by 1 point, last 2 minutes, Gronk over the middle for a TD. And by the way, they should have run the ball over and over and over. All right, that's Ed.
I agree with Ed on the last part. I don't know about any of the other stuff.
I thought there was a little sarcasm in the beginning, but I guess not.
No, I think that was all legit.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure this is, December football at its best. In San Diego?
I thought
this
it was sort
Paul
of...
This is Paul Perillo's December football at its best, because he doesn't like weather to play a factor at all.
No. Well, why would you want the players to just compete against each other, Fred? I mean, I don't know why anybody would want to see that. Who's a better player? I mean, well, that's stupid. Let's see who can handle the elements the best. That's really a true sign.
I don't believe Gates had a touchdown last week, did he?
He did not.
So in this game, good chance that for the first time ever, they've been waiting for a couple weeks now, a tight end will have double-digit touchdowns for the fourth time in his career. Both Gates and Gronk are sitting at 9. Uh-huh. They're trying to be the first ever to do it. Maybe they'll both do it.
Okay.
Paul will hate that. Then it's an SID stat. Or is it already an SID stat?
Well, kind of.
Let's go back to the phone. Sean's in Georgia. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Great show. First-time caller.
Boop.
I have a couple things. As far as the game is concerned, I was okay with them losing, kind of, because I kind of figured they would lose. Green Bay's a great team. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. Not that we don't have a great team and a great quarterback, but we were evenly matched, so I was okay with that. The good thing is, the bad thing, I guess, is that it gives other teams that we have left to play, gives them an idea of kind of the chinks in our armor. It gives them a little confidence, which kind of scares me. The Chargers aren't a really bad. They're not a bad team.
No.
You know, so I don't want them to be overconfident, and I think that's kind of what hurts us once we get to the playoffs. It could hurt us once we get to the playoffs. But the good thing is that maybe it kind of brings us down a notch so that we're not too confident, and we can perfect the little things that we see went wrong in the secondary. From the left tackles. I think it could help us if we, of course, if Belichick plays it right, which he normally does. So I'm a little afraid about this game. I don't want to be too overconfident. And a quick question for you all: if we had to lose one more game before the end of the season, which one would it be, and why?
I would say probably the Jets or something.
I would choose the Jets. I know that's hard for Fred, right. But I just think that's the one. You don't want to lose any of them.
No.
They're all AFC games, and the other three are division games. But if you lose to Miami, you would have lost to Miami twice, and there's a possibility that Miami wins some games, and you could be in trouble.
Right.
San Diego, you'd be tied with San Diego if you lose this game.
You can't lose this game. I'm sorry.
Well, you can't. Your best-case scenario is to not lose any of the four.
Right.
I mean, obviously.
But the worst team, the one that has no chance of coming back to bite you in a tiebreaker head-to-head, is the Jets. I guess San Diego would be the most advantageous because it's out of the division and it wouldn't hurt your division record.
Well,
I don't know.
I think it might be San Diego, kind of, because Right. They're going to either they or Denver's going to lose next week to San Diego or Denver. They're right. playing each other.
Right. And
so if you lose to San Diego and then Denver.
I figured this out, and I think I know where you're going here. You're going to get a popsicle headache.
I think I am. It's starting to hurt.
If Denver wins out, and the Patriots lose, saying the Patriots lose to San Diego, if Denver wins out, it's a moot point. Denver's got a better record.
Right.
But if the Patriots lose to San Diego and San Diego wins out, that is okay for the Patriots because Denver is going to beat San Diego in the tiebreaker. Because they'll have a better division record.
Right.
So that's the first tiebreaker. So forget the head-to-head with San Diego. It won't matter because they'll be a wild card team.
Okay.
Is that what you were kind of thinking of?
Yeah.
If San Diego wins out and Denver only loses to San Diego, that's assuming Denver wins the rest of their games other than that one.
Right.
They'll be tied. Denver and San Diego will be tied, and Denver has a better division record.
And San Diego also has Kansas City and San Francisco.
Tough road.
San Diego's not winning out. Hell no.
All right.
And last thing, guys, I would much rather see us play Denver in the championship rather than any other team because of what we just saw. We have trouble with mobile quarterbacks, and I'm confident against Peyton.
Okay.
Well, if that game is in Foxborough, I think I would agree with you. If it's in Denver, I would have some concerns.
I feel good against any team in the AFC at this point. All right. Thanks, Sean. Let's take a break. When we come back, we got more calls and emails here in PFW in Progress.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats. Maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We're talking everything Packers and San Diego and everything else in between. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline where Eldridge from North Carolina is hanging on. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Good. My question is, well, one of the callers already asked it, but how do our corners match against their receivers? But when you say Arrington on Eddie Royal, I don't like that matchup with Federn. But seriously though, San Diego's going to be playing much harder. It's a must-win for us, the way I look at it. And plus, it's a must-win for them, too, because they got to keep one game. They'd be one game behind Denver if they win.
Oh, it's a huge game.
If they lose, it's two games.
Yeah.
It's a very huge game for both people.
Absolutely.
You know? So I'm just wondering how we're going to match up and how we're going to, you know, play.
And don't forget Gates. You know?
Yep. I know about Gates.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, you know, because Royal and Andy, you're right. Patrick Chung's a bust. He was a bust Sunday, too.
Yeah, he didn't have a great game Sunday.
Give him that touchdown.
He did not have a great game. But Fred thinks he's good. Fred loves him.
Yeah, he's not a bust.
He ain't a bust?
No, he's no bust.
Well, okay. Fred, I want you to have your opinion. Yeah. I got mine, too.
Because we were arguing this morning. Tell me the safety that's really good in coverage in the NFL.
Earl Thomas.
You know, so there's one or two. You know, it's hard. Corners have trouble covering. But I think that Chung also does things like support the run. He's fearless.
No, he's good in that role.
So is Nate Ebner. Nate Ebner's as fearless as anyone. What does fearless mean?
He's very effective.
My problem is
he isn't.
Do you think that Patrick Chung is in the top 25 safeties in football?
No.
Yes.
Not in the top 30. In my book. Maybe y'all book, but not in the top 30.
Okay. You can't name 30 safeties.
Ooh. Can you?
No.
Name three. That's my new thing.
Nate Ebner, Daron Harmon.
That's crazy. But my other question is this. Paul, there's one other team in the AFC right now. If they catch on and they keep playing, I don't want to see them in Foxborough because they're not getting to Foxborough and beat us in Foxborough with the Super Bowl. That's them Ravens. Because right now they're playing lights out a little bit.
Well, here's the thing, though, Eldridge. Absolutely no secondary because they're all hurt. They're all gone. They lost a slew of cornerbacks. They're signing guys off the street. They're just trying to plug guys in, and it cost them a game the other day because they had it well under control, and they just couldn't stop Phillip Rivers when it counted, giving up 21 points in the fourth quarter, and I think that Brady would do that to them as well. I agree with you. It's a team that would come to Foxborough and believe it could win. They'd be a tough out because I think they're tough, and they're tough-minded, not just physically tough. They're tough-minded. They wouldn't come here expecting to get beat. They would come here expecting to win. I just don't think they have the horses in the secondary. It's a good team, but you saw the flaws in the team on Sunday against San Diego.
Yes, sir. But do you see any signing or sighting, or is he just going to be there and not there? That's what I keep wondering.
Who?
Dennard? Him. You say Dennard?
Dennard, right.
Dennard got some playing time on Sunday. Didn't go all that well. But he had a handful of snaps in that game. I don't know exactly what the situation is with him, but they seem to have moved on and gone to Arrington in the slot. And listen, if San Diego wants to try to win this game with Eddie Royal, then I say go right ahead. Eddie Royal's not the kind of guy that's going to, you know, I don't think he's going to be able to beat you by himself.
All right, thanks.
He'll get his catches, I think, if you do that. But if you can take away Keenan Allen in this game, you should be able to win the game. To a lesser extent, Gates.
Fred needs a minute. He found one of those college.
This is the one that we like, isn't it?
Yeah. I also, every time I see her, my first impression is it looks like Kay Adams.
And she looks a little younger every time I see her too, which makes me feel creepy.
Kate Hartung, is that her name?
Kaylee Hartung.
Okay.
There's got to be something about her tongue joke.
Of course. Noel's in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Good.
Good. Hey, have a good turkey day, did you?
Tremendous. Even better Friday with the leftover sandwiches.
That's the cool thing about it all, isn't it?
Yep, I love the sandwiches more than the dinner.
Hey, I have a couple of questions. First one to Paul, if that's okay. I know he loves Josh McDaniels. And I look at all these offensive coordinators sometimes, and it gets to me where they really begin to outthink themselves sometimes. And I want to ask Paul if he thought that Josh outthought himself in this game.
I thought Belichick did.
Did you really?
Yep. I thought they should have run the ball. I thought they should have run the ball more, and I think game plans are devised by the head coach. And this is an Andy Hart commentary that I'm going to steal his line of thinking from because I think it's accurate. I think that when things go well on both sides of the ball, it's Belichick. When they are questioned on both sides of the ball, it's McDaniels and Patricia, and I don't think that's fair. I think the game plans are devised by Bill Belichick, and if he wanted more runs called in that game, on Sunday, he would have made sure that Josh called more runs. I think Josh does what he's told.
Well, thanks for that. I'll take that into consideration for certain.
No, it doesn't mean I'm right. It doesn't mean I'm right, Noel. But I feel like they have game plans that are put together by the head coach and implemented by the coordinators. And I don't think it's fair to give all the credit when it goes well to the head coach and all the blame when it goes bad to the coordinators.
Right. See, that we had a huge debate years ago about the different types of coordinators. Some are architects like a Dick LeBeau as well as the coordinator, and some are just guys that implement what the architect tells them to do. And in this case, Paul believes that the architect is Bill Belichick. All right, thanks, Noel.
I see what you tried to do there.
Interesting little
note. I'm eating, so I'll let it go.
Oh, I wasn't even listening. Interesting note here off the Twittersphere. According to, Adam Jones tweeted it, but he says Rivals.com, their Twitter feed, at least two NFL organizations have contacted Will Muschamp with provisional offers. And he says, wouldn't shock me if the Pats were one, would not shock me either. Bill Belichick has a lot of positive things to say about Will Muschamp and his coaching abilities, dating all the way back to when he was at Auburn with
So what would we be contacting him about?
A job.
Don Capers job type of thing?
Did you say Don?
No, Dom Capers.
Okay.
You just can't just go on. Even if I said Don, who gives a crap?
Any job. I mean, we've had consultants before. He offered Shiano a job.
That's
he offered,
what I said.
A defensive job. A job on defense.
Okay.
He was the defensive coordinator at Texas, defensive at Auburn, defensive at LSU, I think, under Saban. He's in the Saban-Belichick family pipeline. I would not be shocked. And, by the way, he's going to make how much? $6.9 million to not coach?
Right.
He sounds like a guy we'd hire because he's getting paid $6.9 right. million by somebody else, and we can pay him the minimum wage. Right? Works?
Well,
perfect.
Did I read something where his deal is even if he gets another job, he still gets that
yes.
money?
Yes. Apparently, a bunch of these college deals, the new age college deals, yes. The money does not change based on
age. Right, so he's in the driver's seat.
So they have better contracts than NFL people.
Because
NFL people, it's often, it gets deducted from what we owe you and different things. Apparently, in college, you get the whole damn thing.
It's unbelievable.
But would you...
I wonder why the tuitions are so high. Go ahead. Yeah. What?
I don't.
He's got
I don't.
A tuition thing. Would you be interested?
Sure. Yeah. I was looking to make the team better.
Yeah. I don't know if it does or not. That's fine.
Well, I just think it's interesting for all these people that say very critical this week of Logan Ryan because of Josh Boyer. You know, maybe these people would say, "Oh, you're gonna get Muschamp. He can coach the DBs. He can show them how it's done, so you won't have year two regression."
Could he do that?
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know.
Why?
I don't think that much of Will Muschamp. Let's put it that way.
Oh,
but we know
they
go.
Do.
No, I know they do.
It doesn't matter what you think.
No, I know they do, but you asked me if we thought it would make a difference, not whether or not they would do it. Would I do it? I don't. I'm sort of.
So you don't think he could bring anything positive to the table?
I don't know if he could bring anything positive to the table.
He could not help Josh Boyer.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think he's a very good coach. I don't. I don't think his track record is very good.
Okay.
But you are absolutely right. Bill Belichick loves him some Will Muschamp, and I would be shocked if they're not one of the teams that has inquired, if that's the way Rivals has put it.
Will, we got $32,000 on the table for you.
Yeah, and that even makes it all the more
all the food you
possible.
Can eat.
We'll go $32,500 if you need it.
Stephen Killeen, Texas,
expenses.
Has a rant. He says, we lost to the Packers, and no, I am not okay with it because losing sucks. To become comfortable with the idea as an owner, player, coach, or fan goes against everything that playing the game is about. You play to win the game. To say this loss does not matter isn't true either, because now the Patriots could end up relying on what other teams do instead of having absolute control of their destiny. The hope is you learn from the loss and then you take it out on your next opponent by taking their lunch money, gold chains, girlfriends, and bicycles as you walk away asking the classic question, who's the pussy now?
They do still have control of their
Yes, we are spoiled as fans, and I, for one, like being spoiled because I support a team that knows how to win and do so consistently year in and year out, dropping the mic. So there you go. That's his rant.
Okay.
You know what dropping the mic means?
I do. Okay. I didn't.
You didn't feel that was
a
drop the mic rant.
Yeah, but, well, they do still control. They haven't lost the ability to control their destiny.
Right, they just keep winning and they have
despite the fact that no one has the ability to control their destiny.
Right.
Well, I understand what it, John Dennis, I understand what
I know,
it means
I
in the sports
it
context.
Funny every time.
I don't. I mean, that's a big John Dennis rant that I don't understand.
No one controls their destiny.
If you win, you get what you want. That's what it means.
No, but that's not your destiny.
Right. No, I understand that, but in sports, that's what it means.
I know, but
there's a lot of things in sports that don't literally mean what they mean. Right? Aren't there a ton of terms in sports that don't mean literally what they mean?
Yep, absolutely.
No, that means exactly what it means.
Exactly.
But that's a real bee under John Dennis's bonnet.
You,
if you say that, He killed. It's like if you call someone a clubhouse cancer.
Right.
We understand that it doesn't technically mean cancer.
Right.
It means that he's not good in the locker room.
And he spreads bad things.
Yeah, and he spreads.
Right.
Right. I mean, there are a lot of terms in sports that don't literally mean what they say.
When the bullets are flying.
Yeah. Well, Paul backed off his earlier. He was at war, battle. What did you say earlier when you corrected yourself?
In the heat of battle. I didn't want him to say, I'm making it overly dramatic. I'm not trying to compare it to real battle.
Oh, you worried about the Lehigh guy?
No.
Oh.
The guy who wrote in and said, I wasn't fighting anybody. The guy who wrote in and said that Brady should watch his tongue and not swear like that and show a lack of sportsmanship. There was a guy that wrote that, in addition to the guy that you and Fred fought.
Right.
People swear. It's part of the world. I'm sorry.
That's how I feel.
Sarah Paul swears at his kids.
I swear all the time. I'm not exactly proud of it, but it's a fact.
Sarah from California. I've been listening to your show for years, and this is my first time emailing.
Hey, girl.
I'm going to my first game on Sunday. Which do you think is more likely? Either Gronk gets two or more touchdowns or Revis gets a pick six? Gronk is a beast and can't wait to see him live. I think the Bieber curse is ridiculous. What do you think?
I'm going to go with the Gronk two touchdowns is more likely.
I don't know. We haven't seen a pick six from Revis since he's been here, right?
Right.
No, he had one.
No.
That's right. He hasn't had any.
No.
Right.
But we've seen two touchdown games from Gronk, so I'm going to go with two touchdowns
from Gronk. Yeah, but who's more due?
Who's more due?
Yeah.
I don't know. Gronk's got a couple of games without touchdowns, right?
But it's also what Gronk does is more doable.
Yeah.
Like it's what he does. I expect Gronk, when healthy, to score somewhere in the range of 13, 14 touchdowns a year. Good years, it'll go up a little. So he needs a couple.
I'm with you.
Whereas pick sixes are some luck, some circumstance. You can make a great pick on the goal line. Well, you got 100 yards to go before it becomes a pick six.
All right. Or, he could. Phillip Rivers does have those brain farts every once in a while. Maybe he steps in front of an out, but I don't think he'll. I think Revis doesn't get put into that position a lot because opposing teams respect him.
Nathan, to see the beard this week.
Yeah, Nathan.
Weddle's beard.
Wow.
You familiar with that?
No. Eric Weddle?
Yeah. And his beard has like its own Twitter account. It's one of those things.
Yeah. Good for him.
Fear the beard.
Nathan's in Southern Cal. Hey, Nathan.
Good for you.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hi, Nathan.
Have a question for you guys. I haven't been listening live. I want to know if there's any status on Chandler Jones, if he's playing this week.
Yeah, we won't know that till later in the week. We'll get our first injury update, injury report today. I would expect he'll be limited in practice.
Now, should we expect that at 7 o'clock?
Probably. But, yeah, I expect he'll be limited in practice, and he's day-to-day, according to Bill Belichick, last week. And, they ramp it up and then see how it reacts and, what he tells us about everybody.
Yeah, gut feeling, yes or no?
No.
Freddie?
No.
I agree.
But I do think there's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to ever say there's no chance. Because how can you say that on something that you have absolutely no knowledge of?
Is there any
advantage? But I would be very, very surprised.
Having his first game back at home rather than on the road.
The turf?
Yeah, see, I always think that when a guy's been out for an extended period of time, you like to bring him back on a home game. I don't know. Just
why?
You're closer to your own facilities. I don't know.
I don't buy it. Yeah. Now, the turf thing, you might be able to sell me if I don't know what the quality of San Diego's field is.
It should be pretty good, though.
I would think, but I don't know. It's not, the pure consistency of what you'd expect on a field turf out here. That might be something with a hip injury. You want to be really sure there's no slippage or awkward play.
Another good reason.
But I think it's a good reason.
I think that the turf may have contributed to the injury in the first place.
Well, some people believe, I'm a firm believer. I don't like field turf. I think there's going to be down the road at some point.
That's why I brought it up.
Field turf studies or whatever, and they go, oh, yeah, that really wasn't perfect like everybody thought it was.
No, and it's not perfect. It's a lot better than the old, and I think it's better than grass here. But like Miami or San Diego, better to play on. I think there's probably more injuries on grass in the Northeast at this time of year than there would be on field turf.
Not so sure about it.
Because there's all kinds of divots and stuff. That's just sand. It's just a sand field at this time of year.
I know. I'm not so sure that it's. I think it's better for play and everything. I think some of those fields get ridiculous, and it really adversely affects the play, like Paul says. God forbid we know who's good.
I think it's dangerous.
I'm not sure it's more dangerous. I'm not a big believer in field turf. I have my doubts about it.
Too much traction?
I don't know. I see stuff and I say that doesn't look quite right.
I think it's too much traction. Yeah. I think the foot doesn't slip out as easily.
Yeah.
It's been raining like crazy over here, so it should clear up by Sunday, but the rain's been pretty bad these last couple days.
See, moist field. He's not playing. Save him for home.
All right.
Well,
we'll have you seen Eric? Eric,
well, it'll be safe on the dangerous turf.
Have you run into Eric,
it.
Nathan?
Consistently
got
dangerous.
No, I've seen some pretty eccentric people out here, but I haven't run into Eric yet.
Okay.
But I'm kind of bummed, Andy and Paul, you guys aren't making it down. Everybody's going to be here. We were looking forward to seeing you guys. Barry's coming. Jeff in Vegas. Chester.
I was looking forward to it. We're all there. The whack pack.
Well, even Christian was going to come with Mama Hart.
Hey, whoa.
No,
what did he say?
That was well done, Nathan. Good job.
All right, have a good one.
All right, thanks,
you.
Nathan.
Thanks.
I hope that you choke on a chicken wing.
We're all going. Everybody's going to be there.
Everybody's going to be there.
Chester,
Barry.
Jeff,
it's like a
Jeff
family reunion.
It is, but it is
the whack pack. There's
because
no question.
It's not just the Patriots fans reuniting. It's the PFW crew within the Patriots.
I can't wait. Zolak said he's going to come.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh!
Hey, more the merrier.
You need to spread the word. That's actually good, because it's going to be a big crowd there.
Yep.
Not all of them
are college girl.
Yeah, not all of them. Joanna man, whatever. Not all of them are PFW listeners. So you need to, not only through you, but through these people that are
right,
spread the word. That's a good opportunity for us.
Sure.
If we had T-shirts, it would have been a good opportunity. Well, pass out T-shirts.
I sent them a bundle of papers, 250.
How is that related to the radio?
Isn't. It's PFW.
Yeah, but it isn't related to the radio. Well, if we had T-shirts, this would have been an opportunity for T-shirts. Whatever happened to the T-shirts?
You guys could never... Oh, no.
You screwed it up.
No, I didn't screw it up. The price was ridiculous.
So find a new price.
Yeah, we have to go through licensed people.
And, I liked the old Fred.
Yeah.
He begged for forgiveness. He didn't ask for permission.
What
happened to you? What happened?
They beat me down.
They did?
No, I'm only kidding.
I mean, you've been castrated a little bit. You're like Kirk Minahan.
Balarco in Los Angeles. Hey, Balarco.
Hey, guys. I hope you're doing fine.
We are.
Thank you. Are you doing
fine? We're doing
fine.
Yeah. I'm great. I'm looking forward to the San Diego game because I'm going there, too.
Jesus, this stadium must be the biggest in the world. Everybody's going.
Or they don't sell any tickets.
Yeah, apparently Chargers fans don't go.
Yeah, right.
True, actually, because they have some ticket problems over there, even though this game is not going to be a problem.
Yeah, they are one of the teams that it's always iffy.
Tend to be very bandwagon type, so normally they do have problems over there selling tickets. Yeah.
Plus, it's a crap-ass stadium.
It is. It's awful.
One of the worst.
Also, I agree with Steve and Colleen like 100% because that's exactly what I ranted about yesterday on John Rook's show. I'm so tired of people just stabbing the team on the back, oh, you only lost by 5 points in Lambeau, it's all good. No, it's not good. It's not good to lose at this stage of the season after Thanksgiving when every game, like, it's just the race is so tight. I actually I was looking at the standings, and I found out that if we lose in San Diego and the Broncos win and the Bengals win, we might be seed number three because the Bengals have that tie.
That tie the Bengals has eliminates our tiebreaker with them because we can't tie with them.
Yeah.
So.
Also, what's up with Aaron Dobson? Is he going to be placed on IR? Like, why is he on the team? I know that he's not fit enough to play.
I don't know how bad that hamstring is, but it's a good chance he is.
I think Salinga is going to get activated at some point, and when that happens, Dobson's going to IR.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Balarco, can I ask you a quick question before you hang up?
Yeah.
Did John Rook yesterday say that Chandler Jones will be fighting for a roster spot in 2015?
Actually, I did not listen to that portion of the show.
All right, I just wanted to get the information before John came in and we
somebody did email
back.
That, right?
Oh, yeah. We got tweeted. Everybody was
but
sending
I don't
us.
Know if it's
I
true.
Know, I know.
But,
I mean,
but they've set us up like that in the past.
I did not catch that. I only caught the last 45 minutes of the show, and I mostly call so that I can scream at the other fans for being stopped.
I hear you.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Thanks, Balarco.
I liked how he got a little worked up.
When John comes in, we should say we should pretend we're not talking to him and say, "Well, that's huge news about Chandler Jones getting cut. That's unbelievable."
Or the other
way.
See
what he says.
Huge news: Chandler Jones getting a 10-year, $100 million extension.
Right.
It is not okay. They lost. I liked how he said that.
That was good.
It was like Iraq or something.
He had good.
You get killed in this country if you lose.
Good passion there.
Dan and Harriet's on the line. Hey, Dan.
Afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Good.
What's up?
Tremendous.
That's good.
Sorry. I got a few, just two quick things to talk about. First, just the game, and then something that's just kind of bothering me about the team as of late. Well, I guess they're kind of both that. The game, I think one of the callers on the Xbox One post-game show said it pretty well. Sometimes the stats are the stats, and I think they kind of really just took themselves out of this game, and the Packers really were bad against the run, and it seemed like the proof was there, because when they did try to run blunt for a couple of runs, consecutive runs at a time, it was effective, and then they kind of just got down by a little bit, and they thought the game was out of reach, and they just kind of panicked and took themselves out of it.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here.
We're in agreement.
There is no doubt you could have run on the Packers. I don't feel like they showed anything where you needed to alter it, and I don't think the score made you not run the football. I think it was a conscious choice that they made in air.
And I know Brady talked about the stats were a little deceiving, in that they had so many blowout wins, and teams have been, you know, just running the ball to get the game over with. At the end, they've given up a lot of yards. I don't buy that. You could make me perhaps buy that the other way with passing,
right?
That they've gotten a lot of plastic yards at the end of the game that didn't really matter. I don't think there are a lot of times where they've just been running. You know, the Eagles were running LeSean McCoy in the fourth quarter of a game that they were losing 50-17. I don't believe that.
Plus, your two guys who actually had multiple carries averaged 5 whatever a carry. Right? Bolden and Blunt both had over 5 yards a carry. So you ran it on them when you tried to run it.
Greg, I think even if like the stats can be deceiving, which I don't think they are, I think it just speaks to a larger problem that seems to happen routinely with this team when they lose these tough games, is just that they don't know how to stay the course when things go bad, and they kind of just completely throw everything out the window, and it ends up, you know, working against them.
That's a good point. And I think that, you know, when we
Thanks,
move,
Dan.
When we move on, and we, you know, in a month when we start talking about the playoffs and we continue to talk about the things that would concern me, is this team still that kind of front-running team?
Yes. But you know what else?
They generally get the front.
I think all 32 teams in the NFL right now are kind of front-running teams. Like, I don't think of a team that I'm really all that comfortable digging out of. Like, Seattle, I think, is a front-running team sort of on defense when they're rolling or flying. You know what I mean? Like, I think
everybody
all
plays,
these teams.
Everybody plays better when they are able to get the lead and dictate the way the game is played. Some teams are better equipped to not have to do that and come back and
15
win.
15 years ago when teams were good.
I don't think the Patriots are one of those teams now that I would say, well, nothing to worry about here. They've been in this situation before and come back to win. I think generally when they fall behind now, they've been getting in trouble.
So who are the best teams that you would say that are poised to do that this year?
Denver, I think, could come from behind a little bit easier than the Patriots could. I think they've been behind. And the Miami game would be an example. When Denver was down 11 in the fourth quarter against Miami. They came back and won. The Patriots were down 6 against Miami, and they...
It was hot.
I know.
It was hot.
I know. I know. It was hot. I think Green Bay would be okay if they fall behind. I don't think they would be out of it. Now, I think Seattle's a good example of a Patriot-like one. I wouldn't like Seattle's chances if they. I have seen Russell Wilson come from behind, and obviously we've all seen Brady do it a million times.
Right.
I'm just talking about right now, like the current version.
Here and now
is a. I wouldn't feel great if they fell 2 scores behind in a playoff game.
Let's go to
no
Larry in Miami.
No,
hey, Larry.
I get that.
Manning will be like,
hey,
relax.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up, bud?
Nothing. I just wanted to chime in a little bit. I guess Belichick had took a page out of Al from Georgia. Page of just an exhibition game. So,
jeez.
I guess the coaching was a little off that game, I believe, because I was looking at the defense, and it was atrocious. It was just. It didn't make no sense to me how we just deviate from just getting beat by guys that shouldn't be beating us. And I don't know. It was just one play with Revis, but at the same time, I still we were still there. And then offensively, I think McDaniels didn't have a good game.
Yeah, I don't think McDaniels had a great game. And as I've said, I'm always hesitant a little bit. I'm not one of those that the first thing I do is talk about play calling and coaching and coordinators and all that. But I thought this was a game where the adjustments weren't good. I think they made some adjustments they didn't need to. They didn't adjust to some things they needed to adjust to, and it just didn't feel like you were the better staff on that field that day.
Thanks, Larry. Do you think they coached this game sort of like it was the last game of the season, like a Super Bowl? Because it seems like in Super Bowls, it's more that, you know, everything is magnified. So, you know, every move is like this thought-out chess.
I don't think they treated this like a Super Bowl. I don't.
No?
No. I don't think they treated it like an exhibition either. Somewhere in the middle there.
No,
a real
I
game.
Think they treated it like the big game that it was.
Right.
But I don't necessarily think they treated it like a Super Bowl.
No?
It wasn't all hands on deck. Anybody do anything and everything and all things.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that you would know, like, oh, that was a Super Bowl type game plan. I'm not sure that you. I mean, there's a desperation involved. Like, if you fall behind, certainly you're never going to give it. You know, give up in a Super Bowl.
If you go down six, you got to stop running the football.
Right, and that's why so many Super Bowls in the past turn into blowouts, because rather than just sort of like slugging back and forth and attempting to just sort of, you know, all right, let's stay healthy and let's move on to next week, and then the other team knows that, and well, you keep fighting because it's the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's what, you know, like Denver last year. I mean, they kept trying, and Seattle just said, no, we're going to put our foot on your throat and kill you.
Chris from Philly writes in, just want to clear up my understanding of Paul's thoughts on the offense. Paul has gone on record and said he doesn't want us wasting snaps trying to get guys like Wright and Timms involved in the offense because it's already scoring 30 to 40 points a game. In other words, the offense shouldn't try to diversify itself with those guys because it's already as good as it gets. However, Paul also went on record to say that if the Patriots lose in the playoffs, it will be because the offense falls short of its expectations. In other words, it's going to be more on the offense than the defense. So, Paul, if you think the offense would be the team's Achilles heel if they lose in the playoffs, why do you not want to try to get Timms and Wright involved and make the potential options going forward? Neither of them are elite playmakers, but I think at least Tim Wright has proven he can make a solid impact on a game. When a guy like LaFell Edelman is hampered by injury, he could step up and give you 5 to 6 catches and a TD. Anyway, I just wanted to hear Paul's thoughts.
You answered the question yourself. I don't think those guys are very good. So if you're going to go, if you're having a bad offensive day, Brian Timms isn't going to get you out of your funk. So I see no need to further implement him into the offense. I think they have I'm on record as saying I think they have plenty of weapons offensively to be a very productive offense. Now, does that mean that they will play up to capabilities every time? No. I believe that if they lose in the playoffs, they're probably going to have one of those games where someone holds them around 20 and they're going to lose. But that's going to be true whether or not Tim Wright emerges as something more than he is. I think Tim Wright is a solid complementary second tight end. Well, I don't really see the need to have to say, I need to start throwing the ball less to Brandon LaFell or Julian Edelman or Rob Gronkowski so Tim Wright can get more involved. Do you right. disagree with that? Do either one of you do? Because we could talk about that. You know, I feel like they have enough. I feel like they have enough offense.
I just think
if they don't play well, then that means they didn't play well. Put it on the players.
This was like
don't put it on the lack of Brian Timms.
If this was like a 50-game schedule, maybe in stretches you'd say, all right, here's a game where we're going to go for Tim Wright. But it's 16 games. You got to win every game. You play with your best guy
and
your best game plan every game.
I don't know the teams that have
controversy about the Packers.
I don't know the teams that have 6, 7, 8 different options to turn to. I don't know that team. And I a lot of people, this was more like a month ago.
You know what they say, Paul? If you have 8 options, you don't have 3.
A lot of people, this is about a month ago, Freddie, we were starting to get, why don't they get Timms more involved? Why don't they get Tim Wright? I mean, I think Tim Wright has periodically been involved all season.
He's got, what, 5 touchdowns or something like that?
Yeah, I think he might have 6, but I don't even care about the touchdowns. He periodically catches some passes during the course of a game. That's fine. I don't need to force feed him the ball so he's a bigger part of the offense.
If a guy has 2 catches a game, I mean, that's 32 catches, you know, for a second tight end. That's not bad, you know?
Yeah, and I don't feel the need to even give him that. I just feel like they're a very high scoring offense because of Rob Gronkowski.
Now, the good thing is at least now you could argue this, and if they have another one this week, let's say, where they only score 18 or 20, people were arguing this coming off 50-point performances. Like, now, you know, we shouldn't be doing this because that's working too. At least now you could say your offense didn't play as well. Would you be better if you had more? I don't think you would. I think, you know, some things happened. The offensive line wasn't good. I didn't love the game plan. Various things happened, but I don't think it's because Tim Wright wasn't, you know, developed 2 weeks ago.
Son of a bitch. He has 24 catches in 12 games.
There you go.
Fred Kirsch.
Well, I knew he was right in that area because everybody's like, oh, he's caught 24 passes on 26 targets.
Yeah,
or
I don't
something,
understand
whatever.
That either.
Okay. Here's utter, where Paul fights somebody. Go.
The utter infatuation with the fact that every time they throw it to him, he catches it. Yeah, because no one's covering him. Yes, he should catch the ball every time.
Boy, we need cameras again. Paul's face was just good.
I mean, Rob Gronkowski only had 7 catches on 12 targets. Let's cut him.
Just a quick number. I don't know if you guys noticed.
No, but I think there is something to say about when you get deep into the roster, when I go to you, you better catch
him. The more you go to him, the more he'll be covered, and then the more
he has to catch it.
No, I understand.
It was what we used. Jabbar Gaffney was good at. I'm just going to go to you a couple times, catch the damn ball for
Gibbons,
a play.
You know?
A little higher up the hierarchy.
Higher up, but, you know.
And we talked about Edelman not being able to do that for an extended period. Remember, he would be a guy that, in the third quarter, you're just going to play this one play, and he'd cross the middle and bounce off his fingertips.
I agree that Edelman had a problem with that as a part-time player, but you also have to say the degree of difficulty in the plays that he was asked to make blows the degree of difficulty away.
Well, you tell me it's not that impressive when people catch the ball. It's not a skill.
I didn't say that. I said it's not that impressive. I'm not
on record saying catching the football, not a skill.
A hair above handling a handoff.
He looked at that Beckham catch. He's like, not a skill.
Yeah.
Not a skill.
Right. Right. That's what I said.
Chargers
and Patriots. He only has 3 fingers. Who cares?
Chargers and Patriots have best record in NFL.
Have best record in NFL.
Since 2009 in December. 17-3, the two teams are. So
that's correct.
Everybody likes to say the Patriots, you know, they dominate after Thanksgiving. They dominate November and December. Well, Chargers pretty good in December, too.
Are you worried about this game at all?
Worried? No.
I am.
You think they could lose?
Yes.
Do you think they could lose?
Sure.
Wow. Maybe I am a homer. Maybe they're right about me.
I think you're just a dink.
Maybe they are right about me.
I don't even know what that means.
But they won't lose.
Sunshine.
I don't think they will.
Is not necessarily inaccurate in this case.
I
don't think they can lose.
If there's an area I would point to, just a concern of right the here and now, the Patriots couldn't get off the field on defense last week, third down, and the Chargers couldn't get taken off the field on third down, 9 of 11. And then they were 66% or whatever the Packers were. You know, if you're marrying up a hot team and a weakness, and that might be a concern.
You don't know, two games are the same, Andy. You know that.
I know, Bill.
Lars writes in.
He broke out the 8 at home and 8 on the road last week, by the way.
He did?
Yeah.
Lars writes in, will an eventual Super Bowl victory over the Seahawks taste a little bittersweet compared to a Super Bowl win over the Packers?
No.
So we get to beat Rodgers.
No. Your mother's bittersweet. You know, that's just, I don't understand.
You know who started all this?
Who?
Fred Kirsch.
Really?
Because he's the one that
wants to beat Denver in Denver?
Well, there's not just today, but there's examples of this over the years about how he chooses to win. It's not good enough to win. Like, you have to do something to the Jets, or, you know, Peyton Manning has to show the penis face. You know, it's not just enough to win the games against whoever you have to play. It'll be better if we beat this team.
Right.
You started this.
Okay. All right.
You started this.
EG in New York City writes in, I am new to the podcast this season, and you've got me totally hooked. Love the banter, insight, analysis, and humor. My preseason prediction for this squad was 11-5. 12-4 looks reasonable right now. But while we've been hot of late, let's not forget the injury issues and bad play that has often plagued the Patriots in the postseason. Make no mistake, Denver is still the team to beat in the AFC. We got them off balance at home, but they've got more weapons than us, I think, more talent on pass rush, and aren't even that far behind in coaching. It'll come down to home field and who has the better day. Hold off on your Arizona tickets until January. The Patriots have peaked early before. All that said, I love where we are right now and will continue to pray for good health, home field, and snowy weather. That's EG and NYC.
You look like you have plenty to say. You've been making all kinds of faces over there throughout that email.
Andy looked like he was ready to jump in on that email. So I was.
No, I'm not. I'm ready for Arizona.
Deferring to you.
I like those hats, Fred. Those Chargers hats. Do you see those? The baby blues with the single bolt out front.
They just showed a graphic. Phillip Rivers is 30-6 in December.
Yeah, okay. They've been a very good team. Very good team under him down the stretch. But
from 2006 to 2000. Six, seven, eight.
That's his whole career. right?
No, I know. I'm trying to meld the two numbers, the 17-3 and the 30-6, and figure out that he was 13-3 in the other whatever.
Yeah, because he, I think, got drafted in 04, but he didn't really start until 06. That was his first year as a starter, I believe. The email there, the one thing that he brought up that I think injuries are starting to creep in for everybody, obviously.
And it sucks. We can't talk about it because we're not going to find out till late tonight, so we'll have tomorrow's show. But
yeah,
I think that's a factor.
Injuries are a factor, and I think this team is starting to get a little bit banged up. It's been remarkably healthy all year.
Let's just say Edelman, Conley, Hightower, Jones, Arrington don't play. How you feeling?
Say that again.
Edelman, Conley, Hightower, Jones, Arrington. Edelman.
You're talking Chris Jones, right?
I mean, that's.
Oh, no, Chandler. He's not back.
Yeah, I don't think Chandler Jones is playing. They would certainly miss Hightower. That would be an important one.
Conley? You're not going to miss him?
Why is he not playing now?
I don't know.
But Dart said he could have been hurt. I don't know where he's getting that from.
Well, he was hurt coming into the game,
but he played, so I'm assuming he's okay.
Yeah. Well,
he played throughout. He didn't.
No,
it's not
but
like
Dart
he came
knows
out of
what
the
he's
game.
Talking about.
That he didn't play
he's
well.
He's a good guy to listen to.
He said he didn't play
he's got
well.
A lot of good
I hear
information.
He's excellent on Thugger
and Matt. I think he's five times.
That's what I hear.
He's five times worth a listen than
Paul.
Me.
Was it five or ten?
I thought it was five.
Might have been ten.
I think it was five.
Is that who said that?
Was you know, according to industry sources.
Industry sources. Salary cap chargers are very different for those two visits.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to
struck a nerve with Paul.
Let's go to Bob in Virginia on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Bob.
You guys hit it while I was on call, while I was holding. You hit it, you know, you mentioned Edelman's beat up. And that's part of the thing. Is it Paul that keeps saying, you know, that nobody matters but Gronk and Edelman? But those guys are getting beat up.
Yeah, no, that's a concern. You're right. And I didn't say nobody matters, but I think if you have...
I'm exaggerating.
Yeah,
and
no,
I often say it, but I don't include Edelman. I say nobody matters but
Gronk. It's Gronkowski. I was just going to say the same thing. God forbid I get in front of an Indy on that one, but... Yeah, I do think that you're right, Bob. The injuries are starting, they're starting to pile up a little bit, and they're starting to hit some important players.
And LaFell, who, you know, we just go by wide receivers. LaFell had 38 yards. I mean, he had some important catches.
He did have two touchdowns.
But he had 38 yards. I'm saying wide receiver. You know, we need more wide receiver production, in my opinion, if we're going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't agree.
I mean, you don't think that what Edelman and LaFell have given you this year is enough production?
I think Edelman's getting beat up. I'm not.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about if you lose them?
Yeah, I'm just.
Okay.
Seeing
all right. I hear you.
Plus, you know, Bob, this was, if you're going by this game, it's a tough game. They only had 53 snaps on offense. So
yeah, I mean, Edelman has 77 catches for 743. Not as. I know he's on pace to have
what's
a similar
9.8.
Yeah, 9.6. With only two touchdowns.
9.6.
He's on pace to have a similar year as last year. I don't think he's been anywhere near as productive as he was last year.
Probably not.
LaFell, 53 for 712. That's 13.5 with seven touchdowns. That's a pretty good year. I think that's probably exceeded my expectations.
It's his best. It's definitely exceeded. Yeah, it's
right
definitely his.
It's right about. Is it, yeah. He just established career highs in all three of those
categories.
This past week, but. Yeah, I mean, Bob makes a good point. If they were to lose those guys, I'm not sure. Certainly, Timms could step in for LaFell.
I think Amendola.
I think Amendola will be fine.
Edelman. If you have Gronkowski, LaFell, and Amendola,
yeah,
I'm feeling okay.
Yeah, you'd have to lose.
You might lose
two of
but
those. Yeah.
Now, if you lose Gronkowski, I'm not feeling okay about anything else.
No. Well, that's because you got to get Tim Wright more involved.
Wow.
Wow. All right, Bob, thanks for the call. Gopes writes in, we have faced three good offensive head coaches and got outcoached in all three of them, those being Dolphins, Chiefs, and now Packers. Last two Super Bowl losses to an offensive head coach. They say when you play a team twice the same year, first game is on the players to win, and the second game is on the coaches. When we play good teams again, we tend to lose now. I'm not saying Bill sucks, but he's getting older and isn't as good as he used to be. Pat should still be favorites to make it to Arizona, but I would not be surprised if we lost to Denver. The Colts are the best bad team in the league, so they have no chance. By the way, Bill is the guy no one can trash talk about. Even when he gets outcoached, people say it was his plan. So when Bill I trust no more, if Revis leaves, we will go back to being a bad defense. By the way, Patriots win 45-38 against the Chargers.
Ooh, wow. shootout. That'll be a fun game.
Wow. 45-38.
Do that funny throw down the field.
I don't know if my ticker could take that.
Your ticker can't take much more.
Right. Certainly can't take the extra weight it's pumping blood to.
See, everybody knew what that was all about. You didn't have to keep it going.
Did you take your health questionnaire yet?
Yes, I did.
Did your score go up or down since last year?
Down.
Mine too.
Yeah.
I think it was because I was more honest.
Yeah.
I knew my cholesterol.
Well, no, I didn't put in any of those numbers.
I put in cholesterol because I knew it was an issue.
Yeah. So last year you didn't, so it went down.
Right. And they tell me I should. You know? Do you know what my like target weight is?
Oh, it's probably like 30 pounds, 40 pounds less than it is.
Keep going. 169.
Really? Well, wow. They said mine's 160 to 185.
Yeah, so that would be mine because we're roughly the same height.
Well, I'm 285.
Imagine how much muscle I'd have to get rid of.
I'd have to lose 30 pounds. Wow. I can't lose 30 pounds.
We could all do it if we tried.
Of course you could.
I couldn't.
Yeah, Paul, you could do it.
Right, I just polished off a pepperoni pizza. There's no way I could do it.
Don't do that.
I couldn't.
Have you guys seen Dale Arnold, my friend on WEEI.com?
I know he's on a big diet.
He's lost a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why he's trying to get a job, right?
What?
That's what the Globe wrote. Everything in the Globe is truthful, right?
No, it's the exact opposite.
Professional announcers.
They have no idea what they're talking about.
So he's losing to look better on TV?
I was making it.
I mean, some people do that.
He's doing, what is it, 10:30 or something? It's a business. I mean, a program.
Oh, I couldn't
yeah,
see.
30 for 10 or 30, 10 for 30 or
something
or
like that.
30 for 30.
But he's, you know, he's sticking to it. The things I can't do, he cut out some of the stuff is no sugar of any kind. And a lot of stuff has sugar in it.
Right. Fruit, you can't even eat fruit.
You don't even know.
And,
even natural sugar like fruit.
I'm pretty sure no sugar.
Wow. That's
and,
it.
I'd be done.
No alcohol is another thing. You can't have any alcohol at all.
I could go without alcohol for a month.
Oh, I could too. Plus, alcohol's easy. You don't drink.
Right.
Sugar's not easy. Everything has sugar in it.
What does that have?
Well, it sounds like a who's the pussy now diet. No alcohol? Come on.
So what is it, 10 for 30? So you lose 10 pounds in 30 days? Is that?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh. I thought there was
maybe 30 pounds in 10 days. No, it can't be.
That doesn't sound healthy.
That would be unhealthy.
That's the Ebola diet.
I don't think there's a 4 in there. I think it's just 10-30 or 30-10.
Oh, so it was.
I think he added the 4.
Fredism.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Michael has been talking about that every day, that Dale's
he looks
wasting.
Yeah, I heard
away.
Him yesterday begging him to stop. But it's not Dale anymore. He looks, because he does. He used to have a pretty good belly that can wear sweaters.
And he's kind of a big guy, too.
And now he's just, like, getting small. Apparently it helps that his trainer is pretty attractive. Not trainer, but the woman.
Oh, he's got a trainer?
Well, not trainer, the woman. Peg, no. What he says her name in the commercials, I forget.
Is Peg a trainer?
She's attractive. No, it's the woman that he goes
to. Is she a nutritionist?
No, please tell him to keep doing it because I get all the leftover food on Mondays.
Yeah,
so
that's...
feeds me for the rest of the week.
That's tough.
I just couldn't cut out sugar. My wife did that for like 2 weeks and it looked miserable.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Sugar?
I'm not.
Stop!
I'm not a
I thought that that's not the way to do things. I thought you balance it. So, like, because once you've hit your target.
Well, if
you
stop.
Right.
Yeah, if you stop, you're in trouble.
Right.
It needs to be a lifestyle change.
Right. So it's not good to do those, like, all
right.
red meat type
no.
diets.
No, no. Well, unless you're crashing for something. You know, I'm going to get married
but
and I want
to. Everybody I've seen do those diets, they gain it right
oh,
back.
Yeah, because it's not sustainable.
Right. So why don't you do a diet that's sustainable instead of no sugar?
I mean, the most basic one I ever heard when I was doing training and stuff is, I believe the breakdown was 1,500 calories is a pound per week.
For me, it's, so I thought it was 2,000. Anyway, go ahead.
You eliminate that.
Yeah.
Or you burn that.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. And if you do that for a year, you have the chance to keep chucking away
right,
at it.
Right.
Now, you're going to have weeks where you might go back, so it'll slow down. But just like a simple get rid of 1,500 calories or 1,700,
right.
whatever it is.
Well, that's why, you know, a lot of people make fun of it, but that Weight Watchers is good.
Weight right. Watchers is terrific because you can eat anything you want.
Right. You just
everything
watch
has
your
a point
calories.
Total.
Right.
Or, and I have done that in the past, and it's worked.
Or just doing
it
without
works.
Weight Watchers in your own head. Like knowing what I eat. You know, Paul Perillo, I eat 5 pepperoni calzones a week. Right. Cut it down to 4.
Did you ever see someone so blatantly disrespectful
no.
in your life?
Phil from Nova Scotia, I have 2 quick thoughts from 3. The Packers game. First, I'm not convinced that the outcome would have been different on a neutral field. What factors about playing at Green Bay contributed to the loss compared to a neutral site?
Grass.
Crowd noise?
Grass.
I don't
grass.
Think so.
Paul, what's the record?
I think it was
1-6
in the last 7.
I think it was game plan and big plays that made the difference. Second, we have seen since 2007 that Brady is not as effective deep into the playoffs, but it is because of
playoff Bill and his head-scratching personnel decisions,
conservative defense, you are not allowed to say
and
that.
Too complicated offensive play calling. Would the Patriots be better off sticking with the game plans that got them to the postseason? That's what I was saying. Did they kind of coach this a little differently? You know,
I don't think they did.
Asked the question. But it sounds a lot like you say when they try to win a Super Bowl, they lose. Like, they tried to win this like a Super Bowl, so they lost.
Yeah, I mean, like, why? I don't understand why that's a negative.
Do you think they crack under pressure? Paul, I mean, Fred, I'm talking to you. Do you think they crack under the pressure
the
of trying to win a Super Bowl? Yes. Seems like you're painting that as a negative.
I think in 07, I think they did a little bit.
I agree. Did they do it again in 11?
Maybe.
So you don't trust them preparing for the Super Bowl?
I think maybe they overthink it a little bit.
Wow. This is like groundbreaking stuff.
Maybe
you don't
need 2 weeks to prepare.
So my joke that I've always used, you know, give Belichick 2 weeks to prepare, .. and he'll lose to Tom Coughlin, you don't think's a joke.
Maybe
you
not.
Think they choke in the biggest of games at the biggest of times.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if it's choking or overthinking.
So you're with that other guy, in Bill you don't trust.
Whatever you want to call
well,
it.
In
Bill you don't trust.
I don't understand the reaction of this game. Like, either they didn't game plan to win because they were holding stuff back, or
too hard.
Game plan too much and try to
acted like it was a Super Bowl.
At what point did the players get any culpability? I mean,
so you blame Bill Belichick for this loss, though?
No, not for this particular one. No,
I think there were some things. I thought there was some. You know what happens?
I was setting him up, by the way. I was thinking, in case Fox does another thing down the road, I want Fred saying, "Yes, I blame Bill."
It doesn't matter. They'll take it out of context anyway. Right.
The other team's coach, I think.
You know, the question, do you like Bill Belichick? And I'll be, no.
And it was really like, do you like broccoli?
No.
Right.
I think when you see the other team's coach actually do some things that you thought positively impacted the game for his team, it's in stark contrast to what we see in a lot of weeks.
It is eye-opening.
So I think that we sort of looked at it and said, wow, Bill had a tough week this week. Yeah, I think he did. I think there was some things.
So he's really not that good.
I think he
should. Everybody else is that bad.
You don't believe that?
I don't know.
You don't think Bill is the best coach in the league?
No, I do think he's the best coach in the league.
Yeah, and do you think most coaches are bad?
Is it kind of okay? So, but that's a different story, because it's kind of like we say the Seahawks were the best team in football last year, or the Patriots are the best team in football now. But we say they're not as good as the league was 10 years ago. So the difference in the competition's not as good. So do you think Bill is the king of the dip poos?
No.
So you think he's a great coach ever?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Well, he was a great coach 10, 12 years ago, too, when I thought the league was good.
Fred doesn't think he's a great coach anymore because he thinks when he tries to win Super Bowls.
It's really unbecoming. Yeah. It really is. Move on, Fred.
You're worried about them preparing for Super Bowls?
I think so, yeah.
Okay,
bit.
So you're worried.
No, you're not.
So I didn't put any – he doesn't think he's as good as he once was.
No, that's not true.
So what's
his
changed?
His talent isn't as good as it once
talent
was.
Talent isn't as good. Yeah.
Okay, so this team is not as good.
I mean, if you had Gronk.
Wait, but if it's just talent, then
if
why do you
Gronk
think.
Gronk in 11, you win the game.
Wait, but you think he lost in part because of his game plan.
I just think.
What was the game plan problem in 07?
Don't you think that sometimes in those games, like, they look a little different? Like, something.
I think
in 07, you and I thought.
I thought it was a weak problem.
The business-like atmosphere was not conducive to winning that game.
Right, but that's part of coaching.
That's not really game plan.
No, but it's part of coaching.
What about the game plan did you not like, Fred?
It just seemed different. I don't know. I can't explain it. I'm not that good at analyzing, but it just
that'll be on Fox next time.
Just from
that's going to be on Paul.com.
No,
I'll tell you that.
And I'll bet you there's a lot of people that agree with. Just from a layman's perspective, the look of the team. This isn't the team that I watched.
Might have been emotion, and that's what I get.
I think they played flat.
But that is part of the coach. But that's part of the coach.
It was part of his fault, because I think he came in and Andy said this from the moment they got off the plane. That he's treating this like just any other game.
I said it earlier than
as usual.
I said it on the plane.
Okay.
If you recall, I don't think we're allowed to say certain things, but if you recall, on the plane.
Is it something to do with Rocky?
It had something to do with the entertainment choices made in air. All the way through.
Well,
from then on, I was not happy.
But you just watch that game, and
I recall.
Something's different. Like, the way the play calling's coming in.
How about
in
the next one?
Either one.
11-2?
Yeah.
Well, see, the 11-1, you played a team that was at least as good as you, if not better.
Okay.
I don't look at it the same way.
I know, but during the season, you played teams that were as
Yeah, and they,
as
and
good
they
as
lost to them in the regular season, too. That's why, and they lost to them here.
Yeah.
The first one, the Patriots were so much better than the Giants in 07. And I know they played a close game in the regular season. The Patriots were a better team than the Giants in 07. The second one, to me, was a toss-up. I thought it could have gone either way going in, and it went either way.
But, you know,
that's
like
exactly how it unfolded.
Brady throwing the
bad play.
The grounding.
But is that the coach's fault?
No, it isn't. But I just, something was different. I don't know what it was. It just didn't look like the same team that I had watched. And maybe that's the opponent that made them look that way. You know, I don't know. Just get that feeling. Like,
well, I think that's part of it, though. We see them beat up on so many overmatched teams that we think that that's what they are. They just overmatch everybody. You only play good teams a handful of times. That's what made this recent.
I mean, that could be it.
That's what made this recent stretch to me different for me personally. Because, you know, I've always been, yeah, you know, they beat up on the Bears.
Right.
Big deal. No, when they smacked around Denver and smacked around Indianapolis, that was different for me.
Yeah.
That was different for me.
Those were
good teams that they made look bad.
Tim writes in, losing weight is much easier than you think. All you need to do is calculate how many calories you need each day to maintain your weight and eat 100 to 200 calories under that.
I understand how to lose weight.
That's where I got the
1,500 from. I don't have the discipline to do it.
I lost 50 pounds in the last year by doing this. No special programs or diets needed. I just used a free app that counts calories. That's the other thing, though. Every time I sit down, I have to figure out the calories for it. No.
But that's where my thing, the 1,500 calories, just eliminate the calories. 1,500 calories.
But how do you know it?
Over 7 days.
Unless you're keeping track, you don't even know.
It's 200 calories a day. So for you, I know sometimes you drink a can of Coke. Don't drink your can of Coke.
It's a diet.
No, I know. But you also drink sometimes a can of Coke. Right. Or one simple thing. You know, one thing of yogurt. You know, one thing of something. It's very simple. It's not that hard. And you don't even need to really know what your body burns. You know what you take in on a general basis. Eliminate one of them. Eliminate your 1,500 calories, and I guarantee you, you'll lose weight.
Melvin from Tennessee.
On average.
I cannot comment on all the Patriots fans, but I can speak for myself. I am happy not for the fact that we lost, but the fact that this team at 2-2 was a mess. Nobody was playing to their potential. Matthew Slater was my MVP, but they look like crap. I'm happy we are in a good position for number one, because they have come a long way from 2-2, and 9-3 was laughable according to that team that I saw the first month. I am happy that we were in this position. More importantly, Paul, who are you blaming for the loss in the Super Bowl to the Giants? Because you always say the defense, but it seemed to go to the offense.
Which one?
I don't know. Let's say 07.
I think that both of those games were equal. I put more blame on the offense because more was expected of the offense. But twice in the fourth quarter in 07, they got on the field with the other team more than 80 yards away from a touchdown with the lead. And twice they allowed the team to go more than 80 yards for a touchdown.
I know.
I'm all offense.
I am too. Yeah, you knew you were having trouble
can
protecting
you ever
Brady,
win a
so
game,
do something. Change it up a
can
little.
Can you ever win a game when your offense doesn't have its A game?
I know.
No, but you didn't ask me to
why can't our
either?
Offense have an A game in the biggest game?
Fair point.
You know?
That's why I think it's equal blame to go around.
And I think that's what made Brady so upset, too.
And I understand that the it's offense
a big
is
game.
More expensive.
Why aren't we
it?
Playing our best?
And
it's talking to himself, too. You know? What is it? Why,
I don't
you
think
know?
He ever wonders that.
The troll from Louisville, Kentucky says, you jackasses are overthinking, Belichick overthinking. So we shouldn't be thinking about that. Okay?
No, what? Listen, we're just talking about
Yeah, I was just talking about this game. I don't really fear his preparation for a Super Bowl like
How
Fred
How long
does.
Are we going here?
We're not going, but John's not here yet.
He's not coming. There's no show.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Dink.
All right. Well,
you just told me upstairs.
Did we ever? Oh, I don't know if our listeners know that, though.
They do now.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Bob Soucy over in L.A. or San Diego and John Rook, I don't know what he's doing today. Kevin, what's
going on
Hollywood?
What's
John's thing?
Calling some AAU game, you know.
Oh, he's calling AAU basketball? So
Boys and Girls Club League.
Yeah. So John can't be here. So
Peanut
we just figured with everybody in San Diego, we'll give them the day off. But we'll be back tomorrow. Full slate tomorrow. John Rook will be back tomorrow. The fantasy's at 4. So we'll be back Thursday. Thanks.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football.